The following is a presentation of Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball. Mighty Muscles Baseball is on the air worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. The game is coming up, but first, it's time for Muscles Pregame Live. And here's your host, John Vitas.
A very pleasant Friday to you wherever you may be, and welcome in to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for a four-game series between your Mighty Muscles and the Dunedin Blue Jays. Welcome in to TD Ballpark, everyone. I'm John Vitas. As your Muscles coming in off the All-Star break, take on the Blue Jays for the third and final time this season. Marco Raya will make the start today in the series opener for Fort Myers. They'll play a doubleheader tomorrow, so it's four games in 3 days before the off day on Monday. But obviously, both teams very well rested after a four-day All-Star break and ready to get going in the unofficial second half, which begins today. Blue Jays fighting for a playoff spot, just a couple games behind the first-place Tampa Tarpons and Bradenton Marauders. They are in third place in the FSL West. The Mighty Muscles in the bottom third of the division, but 48-34 overall, just kind of coasting here in the second half with a 7-11 start to half number two. But they'll have one of their top pitchers on the mound tonight in Marco Raya. 19-year-old from Laredo, Texas, makes his 13th start of the year. 3-1 with a 2.87 ERA so far. 56 strikeouts in 47 innings, and he's held the opponent to a 195 batting average. So Raya gets the start today for Fort Myers. On pretty much normal rest, he pitched last Friday against Clearwater, but because he's behind on his innings total for the year, he's missed some time with injuries. His pitch count has been limited for most of the year. They're trying to get him up higher in his innings total. So coming in with just 47 innings pitched on the year, we'll look to go 4 or 5 here today against the Blue Jays. On the other side, it'll be former Lehigh collegiate Matt Swanson on the mound for Dunedin, 23 years old from Lake Zurich, Illinois, drafted in the 13th round last year by the Blue Jays. Now, Swanson has pitched 2 years in the minors and has only ever pitched for Dunedin. He's never pitched in rookie ball, never pitched in high A. Between 2 years at this level, he is 6-6 with a 4.16 ERA. Over 71 innings, he's allowed 68 hits and struck out 79. Sinker slider guy's got really good stuff. Fastball up to 95 for Matt Swanson. The Muscles have seen him multiple times this year, and we'll look to use Swanson versus Raya, and we do have a very interesting wrinkle to this series and really the rest of the season. The Dunedin Blue grounds crew just finished drawing the cone behind second base, a 90-degree angle with white chalk being drawn as we speak behind the second base bag. The middle infielders will not be allowed to shift inside that cone, so it's essentially like a goalie's crease at the back of the infield, and so the middle infielders will have to stay outside that cone, which they hope will increase base hits, and we'll see more singles potentially in the Florida State League for the second half. It's an experiment. We'll see how it goes. It's only happening here in the Florida State League. So we'll get more into that as the night goes along, as the Muscles and Blue Jays get set for game one of four here this weekend. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we'll update you on what's going on around the Twins system, and then we'll get a chance to sit down with our Scout Hall of Fame inductee for 2022, Joe McDonald. He was the general manager of three major league teams from the 60s through the 90s, and some really fun stories that we'll be able to share with you in our final segment here tonight.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Mark Anajar from the law offices of Anajar and Levine. After the crash, call the police and document the scene by taking photos of all the vehicles involved. If you were injured, get medical attention as soon as possible. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the law offices of Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers and Naples.
Thank you.
John Vitas bringing you back to TD Ballpark, the spring training home of the Toronto Blue Jays. Dunedin Blue Jays taking on your muscles for four games here this weekend. We're proud to bring you all four road games here starting tonight. Taking a look around the Twins organization, the big league team is off for the fifth day in a row. They'll get an extended all-star break and fire things up tomorrow. Triple-A St. Paul will be in Indianapolis this week to take on the Pirates Triple-A team. Pitch tonight. 8:05 start in Tulsa as Double-A Wichita takes on the Drillers. Interesting note in that game. First base coach for the Muscles, Takashi Miyoshi, will be managing the Wind Surge tonight up in Tulsa. The usual manager, former Miracle manager Ramon Borrego, has the weekend off. The Twins are one of the few organizations that give their coaches PTO days, so he extends his All-Star break into a longer vacation. He's actually down in Fort Myers where he makes his home. So Yoshi will be up with the Double-A team this weekend, and Jason Perez will coach first base for the Muscles here this weekend. High A Cedar Rapids will be at home against Peoria. That's the Cardinals High A team. 7:35 first pitch there tonight. The FCL Twins played yesterday. They played the FCL Rays yesterday. Ernie Yake made a rehab start. And then today, the FCL Twins, with two Mighty Muscles rehabbers playing in that game. Jesus Feliz, the infielder that has been out for 2 months with back issues, made the start today for the FCL Twins. He was the DH, went 0-for-2 with a hit by pitch. And Jesus Toledo, a pitcher we've never seen pitch for the Muscles, but was on their opening day roster, pitched one scoreless inning for the FCL Twins as the starter today. Francis Peguero, a guy who's trying to get to high A, really struggled, so maybe he ends up with us first as he continues to build back up from his injury. So some interesting guys rehabbing in the FCL, and of course the draft took place earlier this week. We'll start to see the draft guys sprinkle into both the FCL and the Muscles roster no earlier than probably the end of next week. We're probably still at least a week away from seeing any draft picks in games, if not two or three. So we'll go through some of the draft picks throughout the weekend, but don't expect to see them for at least another week or two here in Fort Myers. It's time for our final break. When we come back, we'll sit down with Joe McDonald, general manager of three major league teams and a five-time World Series champion. He is the Mighty Muscles 2022 inductee into the Southwest Florida Scouting Hall of Fame. And we got a chance to meet up with Joe earlier today to film his induction ceremony. And we'll play a snippet of his interview, a six-minute snippet, when we come back, all getting you ready for first pitch. The story he's going to tell is it'll be about Jerry Kuzman, 1969 New York Met, a big part of their World Series championship. And Joe will give us a really cool inside scout story about how he almost was not a New York Met. We'll be right back here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brandt, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brandt's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit Brandt.co for more information.
I'm so honored because of the people who are in there ahead of me. I have such great respect for scouts. I became one myself. In fact, I was a scout when I was a kid working at Ebbets Field. I was literally scouting the players I was looking at. So to me, they are the most wonderful, unappreciated group. They should be in Cooperstown, as well, not to put down Fort Myers. I think it's fantastic what you've done in recognition of the scouts, because without them, we don't play the game. Everybody else gets in the Hall of Fame, broadcasters, writers. What about scouts? I'm talking about Cooperstown. But in the meantime, I feel very privileged and honored, and I thank you all.
Why do you think it's so important for scouts to be recognized, and why are they such an important part of the fabric of baseball?
We don't play the game. We don't have our players if we don't have scouts recommending them. Now you can say, well, they'll be seen anyhow. But the blood and guts of our game has always been the young players that are signed by scouts. Naturally, they have to have approval of the front office, but they're the ones that do the hard, hard work. When I hear about scouts, the first thing I think of is hard work.
When you were scouting, or I guess I should say when you started your career before technology and GPSs and being able to Zoom with coaches and everything, what were some of the challenges of, you know, finding the stadium, finding players? Is a lot more word of mouth than it is today.
Well, I can remember in northern Florida going past One Diamond in the woods four times. And I finally went into a luncheonette or something, and I got word where it was. That was frustrating. I missed a couple innings of the game. And from that day forward, I had great respect for scouts. And how you're right, that's just one little particle, is trying to find the stadium. And then, of course, it's a fun thing to actually go online and see what everybody has seen. In my case, it might have been a follow-up on a player. But the frustration all around, the cancellations, the managers who decide not to pitch so-and-so when it was a foregone conclusion he was going to pitch. And meanwhile, you've traveled, you've stayed over at motels. That's the life of a scout that few people can appreciate unless you did it yourself. And that's why I always have a great feeling for scouts. And I was one myself.
For a long time.
For a long time. I had a policy that if you want to drive your car to spring training, you for the equivalent air coach fare. However, when you arrive in Homestead, Florida, and you break with a club, I don't want to hear anything about your car. I want you to travel as a team on a bus to wherever you're going. So what you do with that car is your problem. Well, my good buddy Jerry and the other two Jerrys, they put their heads together, and let's say we're all driving. In that way, I will reimburse each one of them the equivalent of air coach fare. So it was Jerry Kuzman's car, and they all got together in up in Georgia or someplace wherever they were coming from, and they got in an accident. A serious accident. So Jerry called me, and I just wanted to know, is anybody hurt? And he said, no, we're all right. I said, well, get your fanny in here. And then Jerry was hard pressed for money, so I loaned him $50. Now, fast forward, we have a meeting with all of my instructors and minor league managers. Some seven or eight in number, not a great many like they have today. And I have a list that I comprise of players who should be considered to be released at the end of spring training, toward the end. But I want a meeting beforehand, and I had names on there, and one of the names was Jerry Kuzman. And I went around the room and asked each of those former big league players, Bill Burden, Frank Larry, guys that I respect greatly in their opinion. And I went around the room and I asked, should we release these players? And Kuzman was one of them. And they all said yes. Now, some of them declined to say anything because they hadn't seen him. But one or two did see him. And consequently, I then said, now hold it right there, boys. I loan Kuzman $50.
I think you can see where that story is going. We'll recap it for you later in the game, but we got baseball to play here at Dunedin, Florida. TD Ballpark, the host of this terrific four-game series. Muscles and Blue Jays ready to go on a sun-drenched evening in Pinellas County. Luis Maez is dug in. He is ready to go, facing Matt Swanson, the former Lehigh product. First pitch of the game is a tailing sinker down and in, and it's called strike one. Nice little crowd turning out for the first game of the unofficial second half. They're all-star breaks. We are back in business here with the Mighty Muscles. As this one's looped foul into the seats on the third base side, strike two. We will be on the road with the Muscles for three of the final four road trips of the season, including all four games here this weekend at TD Ballpark. Located here in residential Dunedin, Florida, just a couple of blocks away from the Intercoastal, which lets out to the Gulf of Mexico, northwest of Tampa, Florida. The 0-2 from Swanson is a fastball that just missed outside for ball one. Mighty Muscles come in with a record of 48-34, 7-11 in the second half, wearing their purple jerseys today with gray pants and purple caps. The 1-2 come in, and Baez takes a slider down and away, 2-2. No roster moves coming into today. We thought there might be a bevy of roster moves after the All-Star break, but it's the same 27 guys we finished up with on Sunday at Hammond Stadium. Muscles do hope to activate Dylan Tatum at some point this weekend, but not active for today, still nursing back to health from that hamstring strain which he suffered 2 weeks ago in Tampa. But he is here with the team and hopefully will be active tomorrow. The 2-2 pitch is a broken bat looper right side that's going to land foul just beyond the reach of the sprinting Messia behind the plate. Let's meet tonight's Achieva Credit Union starting lineup for the Mighty Muscles. It'll be the center fielder Luis Baez leading it off, who's now in a 2-2 count and asking for a new bat. Noah Miller in the two-hole waits on deck. He's the shortstop. Third baseman Keone Cavaco bats third with the cleanup man Kalei Rosario in left field. The catcher Noah Cardenas is in the five-hole with Mikey Perez in the sixth spot at second base. Rubel Cespedes playing first base, bat seventh. Carlos Aguiar in the eight hole in right. 2-2 is fouled off again. Frank Nigro will be the DH in this game for the Mighty Muscles. He's in the nine spot. Muscles do have LaRon Smith back. He was active last week, but under the weather, not able to join the team for their homestand against Clearwater. Here's the 2-2. And the fastball just missed in. Swanson really getting squeezed here in the first. So it's a full 27 this week with LaRon Smith back with the team. Not in the lineup tonight, but will likely be in there tomorrow. 3-2 pitch is pulled foul down the third baseline towards the Mighty Muscles dugout. Baez, who has not hit at the top of the order much at all this season, in the leadoff spot tonight. And doing his job, it'll be at least a 9-pitch at-bat to start the ball game here on a hot and humid night in Dunedin. We're at the spring training home of the Toronto Blue Jays. As the pitch comes in, and he got him. Tailing fastball, no. Actually got a piece, I think. So it'll be another foul ball and a 10-pitch at-bat. Ball disappeared, but it went off of Messia's glove into the dirt. So plenty of Matt Swanson over the last 2 years. Drafted last summer by the Blue Jays. 3-2, and he got him. There's the hard sinker, and Baez swings over the top for strike three. So Swanson ultimately wins the 10-pitch battle, and there's one away now for Miller.
Now batting shortstop number 21, Noah Miller.
Swanson last year came up and pitched out of the bullpen for Dunedin after a full college season. He was drafted in the 13th round out of Lehigh. A 2.30 ERA out of the bullpen and really good numbers all the way through. First pitch to Miller is a chopper right side coming in to get it to second baseman Machado. He flips over to first and there's two down. So two up, two down, and Cavaco will be the last hope for the Muscles here in the first inning.
Third baseman number 9, Keone Cavaco.
Let's set the defense for the Blue Jays in the outfield left to right. It is Martinez, Salinas, and Masson. Del Rosario plays third with DeCastro at shortstop. Machado handles second, and Rainer Nunez anchors first with Victor Messia just called up from the GCL behind the plate. First pitch slider, and Cavaco's out in front. A big rip on strike one. So 10 pitches to Baez to get him, and then just one pitch to get Miller. Cavaco first pitch swinging as well. Here's the 0-1 coming. Slider, and he swings over the top of it, strike two. Swanson, a true sinker-slider guy. That slider gets a ton of late movement. And the sinker is very heavy, 92 to 94 on his tailing fastball. The pitch, fastball a little bit low. Good tank by Cavaco. 93 on that pitch from Swanson. Shadows just starting to creep across home plate right now. They are even with the first base line. The pitch, down and away. So pretty much all the seats are in the shade, with the exception of a few seats behind the Muscles dugout on the third base side, as well as the left field seats. But about 80% of the seats right now are in the shade. And the shade from the first base side just crossing over that first base line. As Keone swings and misses, another good slider by Swanson, who picks up his second strikeout. DJs come to bat against Marco Rio when we come back on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Fans, it's time to turn it over to our host for the evening, down on the first base.
Today's row crop farming is all about efficiency. When the sun's up, you gotta go. You don't have time for multiple trips across your fields, and you can't take risks on unproven products. That's why the best farmers, including those at Next Level, rely on Brand, formulated for superior tank mixing and advanced nutrition delivery. Brand's products are highly efficient, helping improve your crop's quality and overall yield. Visit brandt.co for more information.
Hammond Stadium's newest neighbors are bringing Coldwater Seafood to the next level. Introducing Coldwater Oyster Market, the area's newest sports bar with 44 taps, 24 HD TVs, and the freshest seafood in town. Pick from a wide selection of fresh oysters, lobster rolls, mussels, crab cakes, and more. Better yet, bring your Muscles game ticket to Coldwater for a free cup of award-winning New England clam chowder or Scotty's Mighty Muscles Blonde Ale. That's Coldwater Oyster Market, located on 6 Mile Cypress, just 2 miles south of Hammond Stadium.
This is Mighty Muscles catcher LaRon Smith, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
John Vitas bringing you back to TD Ballpark in Dunedin as we start the bottom of the first inning. There is no score, and it'll be Esteban Machado to lead it off for the Blue Jays against Muscles flamethrower Marco Rio. The 19-year-old from Laredo, Texas, has the ball to start the second half for the Mighty Muscles. And his first pitch to the left-hand hitting Machado is a fastball taken at the knees for strike one. It'll be Roque Salinas and Gabby Martinez due up in this inning as well. It's been a Latino-heavy roster all year for the Blue Jays. 0-1 is upstairs for a ball, 1-1. And in fact, we were told before the game that the Dunedin Blue Jays have not had a single at-bat taken by an American-born player all season. That is incredible. Here's the 1-1. Swing and a miss on a changeup for strike two. Now, they've had a handful of Canadians on their team, including two in tonight's lineup, and they're English speakers, but not American. Here's the 1-2. That one's down and in and in the dirt, and it caught the umpire on a bounce, 2-2. They also have a handful of Americans on their pitching staff, including tonight's starter, Swanson. But it's been all foreign-born players to bat this year for the Blue Jays. Umpire taking a minute to walk around, and that is, I'll have to get the name of our home plate umpire tonight. But Cardenas taking a little walk to give him a chance to shake that one off. 2-2 on Machado. Raya kicks the pitch home, and the breaking ball is low, a full count now. So Rainer Nunez, the cleanup hitter tonight for the Blue Jays, he plays first. The DH in the five hole is Adriel Sotolongo. 3-2 pitch coming, and it's fouled back on a high fastball. J.C. Masson, just added to the team today, plays right with Victor Messia in the seven hole as the catcher. Third baseman Angel Del Rosario bats eighth, and Raquelbin DeCastro, the shortstop, rounds it out. Raya delivers. Slider rolled weakly past the mound in to get it. Miller sets his feet, and the throw to first is on the leadoff hitters. Work long at bats, but both are ultimately retired. And now it'll be Salinas with one out and nobody on.
Now batting center fielder, number 50, Roque Salinas.
Salinas, the center fielder for the Blue Jays, another left-handed hitter. He swats it foul on the left side out of play, strike one. Let's meet the defense tonight for the Mighty Muscles. In the outfield left to right, it is Kalei Rosario, Luis Baez, and in right field, Carlos Aguiar. Raya rocks the 0-1, and the breaking ball gets him to swing and miss for strike two. Cavaco plays third with Miller at short, the usual left side of the infield, the two first-round picks. 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, nasty changeup by Marco Raya. And there's two away now for Gabby Martinez. That is a welcome sight for Marco, who has barely thrown any changeups all year. But he's got that pitch working early tonight. Mikey Perez handles second base for the Muscles, and Rubel Cespedes anchors first. Cardenas in the crouch working with Raya, who spins in a slider for strike one to Gabby Martinez. And tonight, for the first time in baseball history, there has been a chalk cone drawn behind the second base bag. 0-1 and a swing and a miss, strike two. A new experimental rule here in the Florida State League in 2022 to try and keep those middle infielders away from the second base bag, the 0-2. Swing and a miss, he got him. Marco Raya strikes out two in the first, a nasty slider to get Martinez, and both teams go in order as we move to the second inning. You're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Mark Anajar from the law offices of Anajar and Levine. After the crash, call the police and document the scene by taking photos of all the vehicles involved. If you were injured, get medical attention as soon as possible. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the law offices of Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers, and Naples.
Stay up to speed with promotions and all things Mighty Muscles. Games and events, Mighty Muscles merch, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mighty Muscles, and on the web at MightyMuscles.com. Come on out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Muscles right-handed pitcher Marco Raya, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
And Marco Raya now through a scoreless inning for the Muscles tonight. Kalei Rosario going to lead it off here in the second inning for Fort Myers against Matt Svanson, tonight's starter for Dunedin. We were just bringing up the new cone of shame, we'll call it, behind the second base bag, which has been added to all Florida State League venues tonight. A brand new rule change that MLB is experimenting here in the Florida State League only. First pitch to Rosario is a fastball bearing in for ball one. So the reason they draw that chalk cone, it's a 90-degree angle behind the second base bag, is to allow for more base hits. They want less ground balls eaten up the middle. That one is low for a ball because the trend the last few years in baseball has been to play your middle infielder to the opposite field side of the hitter directly up the middle to take away all those singles on balls grounded past the mound. Here's the 2-0. And a fastball down the pipe for a strike, 2-1. And so to try and help the hitters out, they've drawn this cone, and the middle infielders are not allowed to play within the crease. Almost looks like a hockey goalie crease. The 2-1, swing and a miss on a sinker down, 2-2. So right now the second baseman, Machado, has his right foot right next to the back of that chalk, playing probably a step or two closer to his normal position than he would ordinarily play. Against right-handed hitters, we've seen those second basemen play pretty much just to the right of the bag, and he's probably about 15 feet over from where he would be. 2-2. Breaking ball hit foul. Now, it's a noticeable design for a pretty subtle change. I think if this sticks in baseball, they would maybe just make a little chalk dash at the back of the infield or maybe put like a wire line in the dirt. I don't think this chalk V or chalk cone behind the bag is going to stick. 2-2 is grounded on the towards the shortstop side. DeCastro with the backhand, and the throw to first is on target. Rosario grounds out to start the second. But we don't want to judge the new rule only one inning in, so we'll see how it plays. We'll see if it makes much of a difference, but it certainly looks weird when you come into the game and you see essentially a second batter's box out there. It's almost as if, you know, you had a high school game on the field beforehand or a little league game, and they use second base as home plate because you've got the 90-degree V, like a right field and a left field line going out from second. Cardenas takes a strike on the inside corner, 0-1. Now, Noah was scorching hot before the All-Star break. Had a couple home runs in the series against Clearwater. That one misses in for a ball, 1-1. 19 with two doubles, three homers, and five RBI. So he actually had three homers in the series against Clearwater. As he swats one foul, a line drive to the opposite field side, 1-2. That's a .421 average over five games. And if you extend it to his last seven games, he has a .385 batting average. So he's risen the season average up to .236, which is right on the league average for the Florida State League. Six homers, 25 driven in now on the year. The pitch is in the dirt, skipping off the catcher Messia, ball two. The shadows are now about a third of the way past the batter's circle towards the pitcher's mound, so the ball will change colors for the hitters. And when we were here in late April, sunset was at about the same time as it is here in mid to late July. And so for the first three or four innings, it is a very tough environment to hit in. So we saw a lot of the starters just post zero after zero through the first three or four innings in that series in April before the hitters got a better view of the pitch. 2-2. Is chopped on the left side, foul. They'll do it again. So we'll see if that continues here this weekend, although the sun has gone behind the clouds, at least for the moment. Sunset a little after 8 o'clock, so that won't be until the fourth or fifth inning. As Cardenas stares in at Svensson, another 2-2, and it bends outside, a full count now. The two Noahs are atop the Mighty Muscles leaderboard in walks. Both of them have exactly 50 walks this season, Cardenas and Miller. Here's the 3-2, and it's hit off the mound. Coming over to get it, the second baseman Machado from the back of the infield. His throw is on target for the out. So he had to go into the cone of shame to make that play, and there's two down now with Perez coming up. If he had been positioned there to begin with, it would have been a much easier play, but the cone makes it tougher on the defense, which ultimately is the goal of that change. As Perez steps in with two outs and nobody on. Scoreless game, second inning here from Dunedin. Svensson out of the stretch fires, and the slider gets Perez to swing and miss. That was kind of a hanger over the inner half of the plate, and Perez swung over the top. Svensson ready again. The 0-1 pitch is off the plate away for a ball, 1-1. There is about a 50% chance of rain tonight in this area. There were all kinds of heavy thunderstorms bubbling up to our north before the game today. On the ground to third, coming in to get the tough hop is Del Rosario. Sets his feet and throws a strike over to first to end the inning. So the Blue Jays infield all touch the ball in that inning, and it's a 1-2-3 inning for Svensson. Middle of the second, no score here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
There's no better way to let off some steam than axe throwing. But ever wish the party could come to you? Well, now it can. Introducing Chuck It Axes, the mobile axe throwing company that'll bring the party to your front yard, backyard, parking lot, or business. Chuck It offers one-on-one coaching for all ages and skill levels and is fully insured. To schedule your axe throwing party today, call 239-851-AXES or visit chuckitaxes.com. Life is short. Chuck It!
We have fun nights ahead of you with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Saturday the 30th, John Grise from the hit movie Napoleon Dynamite will be on hand. The first 500 fans get a Mighty Muscles Christmas in July ornament. $30 gets you a ticket to the game and admission to Beer Fest 4 with free samples from over 50 beers. Sunday the 31st brings the Southwest Florida Sports Card Mega Show, included with your game ticket from 9 till 4. Come out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Middle third of the order coming up here for Dunedin. We have no scores. We start the bottom of the second inning. Marco Raya back to the bump for your muscles. First pitch fastball right down Main Street for strike one. I know some broadcasters that like to talk about Main Street or Broadway with local terms. You know, they pick a main road in that city that they're broadcasting in. 0-1 is chopped foul for strike two, but Main Street works here in Dunedin because that is the main drag after all. Also known as US 580, right? Just north of the stadium. We are a walking distance from downtown Dunedin. This one's popped up to shallow right field. Aguiar and Perez come together, and it's going to be the second baseman Perez to make the catch in shallow right center field as Nunez pops out to start the second. It'll bring up Soto Longo for the Blue Jays tonight. A lot of roster moves during the All-Star break for Dunedin. We'll get those straight for you here in a second. Got some new names in the lineup today as the first pitch is poured in for a strike from Raya. Marco deals an 0-1. And a swing and a miss, strike two. This is a Blue Jays team we're pretty familiar with. This is the 12th meeting of the year between these teams. We'll finish with 15 meetings on Sunday. Marco ahead, now the 0-2. Fastball sinks low. Francisco Fajardo, a utility infielder who we saw up in Fort Myers, was sent down from Vancouver after the game on Sunday. So he is here and off the bench tonight, the 1-2. Swing and a miss. Nasty breaking ball by Raya, who picks up his third strikeout. So two outs here in the second with J.C. Masson coming up. And he's our next roster move we were about to tell you about. Masson, a French-Canadian, was in the FCL and now sent up to Dunedin. That move was made yesterday. Mark Civet, a left-handed pitcher, went the other way from Dunedin to the FCL. That one's lashed into left field, a base hit. Masson goes the other way against a fastball. And the Blue Jays have their first base runner with Messia coming up. So Masson now batting 1,000 at this level. And then a bevy of moves today. Six roster moves, five of which involved hitters. Desaun Brown, who terrorized the muscles in two series this year, a really good outfielder, was sent up to Vancouver along with Tampa native Michael Dominguez, a right-handed pitcher. And then the third promotion was catcher Jomer Hernandez. There's a throw to first, close play, but Masson is safe. So congrats to those three Dunedin Blue Jays, Brown, Dominguez, and Hernandez. Juan Gonzalez was returned to the complex, And then two catchers were called up from the FCL Blue Jays. One of them is the batter right now, Victor Mesia, who fouls it back for strike one. Mesia struggled in a stint with Dunedin earlier this year, a former top 30 prospect in the Blue Jays system. The other one is another French-Canadian named Nicolas Deschamps, who we'll probably see at some point this weekend. 0-1 is a breaking ball low. So there's your Blue Jays roster update, a bunch of moves for them before the game today. But the rest of them, all familiar names that we've seen 11 other times this year. The Blue Jays, a team that, I guess you could call them raw. They're a league. Slider bends outside, 2-1. But they've got some considerable talent, especially amongst their hitters. Rainer Nunez, one of the best offensive players in the league, is still with them. Pretty surprising that he hasn't been called up yet. Masson takes his lead. There's a throw to first and another safe call and another close play. Baez, as usual, plays pretty shallow in center. In a park that used to play really small, it's much more fair now. They push the fences back when they renovated this stadium in 2020. 2-1 pitch, fastball sprayed foul off the right side out of play, strike two. They actually started the renovations in 2019, and the Blue Jays had to play over at the old Jack Russell Stadium in Clearwater during the 2019 season, so the Miracle had to go over there to play the Blue Jays. And there was no internet over at that field, so we couldn't broadcast from Jack Russell that season. Here's the 2-2 pitch, and the slider's looped foul into the crowd again. Good swing by Messi on a good slider by Raya. But when this place was unveiled to the fans here in spring training of 2021, I think everybody was impressed with the improvements they made here at TD Ballpark. Raya delivers again, and the fastball is at the knee, strike three. Messi down looking. And it's four strikeouts through two innings for Marco Raya. We move to the third. No score on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network, powered by Brandt.
Athenian Academy Charter School, the first Greek immersion charter school in the United States, is now in Fort Myers and open for enrollment for the upcoming school year. Athenian Academy is a tuition-free public school offering kindergarten through eighth grade with a brand new state-of-the-art building. Their certified teachers create excellence in education through a motivating, focused academic and language approach that includes Greek and Spanish taught daily. Located on Three Oaks Parkway, just south of San Carlos Boulevard, Athenian Academy Charter School. Come experience the difference.
Two for One Tuesdays, Thirsty Thursdays, Fireworks Fridays, Free Giveaway Saturdays, and Sunday Brunch. Game Day doesn't get more family-friendly. Stay up to speed with Home Game Times on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Mighty Muscles.
This is Twins broadcaster Corey Provis. You are listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Bottom of the order coming up for the Muscles, but it is not your typical bottom of the order. A lot of power with this trio. As Matt Svensson comes out for a third inning of work, that one's dribbled in front of the plate. Cespedes didn't run. They're going to make the throw on target for the out. Rubel arguing that it hit his foot. He never left the batter's box. As Messi has scooped it up and made the play, that did not look like it hit his foot. I'm not sure how the Muscles coaches will take that, but Cespedes never ran. So one pitch and one out for Matt Svensson, and it brings up Aguiar. You got to give Messi a credit there for pouncing on that ball and making a strong throw, because if he slowed down at all, he might have convinced the umpire that it did hit Cespedes' foot. So here is the wiry, strong Carlos Aguiar, who swats the first pitch changeup foul for strike one. Like Cardenas, Aguiar red hot before the All-Star break. Aguiar 10 for his last 19 with 4 home runs, 9 runs batted in. That's a 1,200 slugging percentage. That one's down and in for a ball 1-1. Been hitting moonshot after moonshot down at Hammond Stadium. Stands at 6'3", big open stance. The pitch, fastball laced to the screen, a little bit late, strike two. All right, Swanson's fastball will get on you in a hurry. It's got some life, some sinking action. As that one rises up and in for a ball. Two balls, two strikes on Carlos Aguiar with one out and nobody on for the Muscles here in a scoreless third inning. And there's a swing and a miss. High fastball at 93. Swanson strikes him out, and it's strikeout number 3 for the Blue Jays right-hander. It'll bring up Nigro.
Designated hitter number 37, Frank Nigro.
Nigro added to the roster last week. Caught 2 games for the Muscles against the Threshers. And DHing tonight, holds the hands low, and the pitch to him is outside. We love our perspective here in Dunedin. We are as low and as close to the field as you will ever be in a professional baseball broadcast booth. Almost feels like you can reach out and touch the hitter. Backstop, so close to home plate. That one is down and in. They appeal and say no swing, 2-0. I mean, this is as perfect a view as you'll ever get in pro ball. We can see the movement on the pitches. We can hear what the players are saying on the field. We can hear what the coaches are yelling to the umpires. The 2-0 is lined to short, but right at DeCastro, who snares it for out number 3. 9 up, 9 down for Matt Swanson. We head to the bottom of the third on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network. No score from TD Ballpark.
You may not need a lawyer today, but at some point in your life, you might. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer recognized by the Florida Bar as an expert in criminal trial law. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in DUI, criminal law, and felony case matters from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. You may not need a lawyer today, so remember his name for when you do. The Law Office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
There's no better deal during Muscles season than a Silver Sluggers membership. For just $55, all fans 65 years and older can get a ticket to all 11 Wednesday home games. They'll also get a free parking pass and t-shirt, not to mention a 10% discount in the team store. To purchase your Silver Sluggers card today, call Ross Sirtis at 239-533-7661. That's 239-533-7661.
Mighty Muscles pitcher Jordan Carr, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Angel Del Rosario leads it off for the Blue Jays here in the bottom of the third inning. Marco Raya has been terrific so far, 2 scoreless for him, and he blows a fastball by Del Rosario for strike one. It'll be DeCastro and Machado to follow. 3 righties against Raya, the pitch. Lined over shortstop, sinking in front of Rosario for a base hit. So Del Rosario able to time up the fastball. And the Blue Jays have a couple of hits against Raya. It'll bring up DeCastro. DeCastro wearing the bright pink batting gloves tonight.
Stop,
jerseys with purple caps and gray pants. The Blue Jays are in their home whites, so white and royal blue, the only colors you'll see on the Blue Jays uniforms, look just like their parent club in Toronto. First pitch home. He is a good slider in for strike one. The shadow is now crossing the front of the mound, so the ball will change colors right out of the hand of the pitcher. But in a few minutes, the shadows won't be a factor for the hitters anymore. Here's the 0-1, and it catches the inside corner, another breaking ball for strike two. The shadows really played into Raya's favor in April when he pitched on this mound. Six scoreless innings, just one hit, and he struck out 10 Blue Jays. That was on April 19th. There's a pickoff attempt, and Del Rosario dives in. Marco pitched that game with a significant toothache. He got his wisdom teeth taken out the next day after that start in Dunedin. It was something that he could tolerate for a little while, so they had him pitch that game. There's a swing and a miss. Runner goes. Cardenas' throw on target, but not in time. Del Rosario got the hand in ahead of Perez's tag. It's a strikeout, but a stolen base for the Blue Jays. And it'll bring up Machado. Five strikeouts through the first trip through the order for Raya. Machado, a switch hitter, batting left-handed. The pitch to him, swing and a miss. Good change up there from Marco. Miller just kind of tight-roping that chalk at shortstop, trying not to violate the new rule. That one's chopped over the mound. Miller coming in a long way. Fields the quick transfer, and the throw is there. Sweet play by Noah Miller to record out number two as Del Rosario advances to third. That was a chopper over the mound and a really tough play. But Noah, we know, is an elite defender at shortstop. And now it'll be Salinas with two outs and a runner on third. Blue Jays trying to take the lead with some dark clouds brewing out beyond the right center field fence. First pitch to the left-handed hitter is a slider that stays high for ball one. We mentioned the chance of rain earlier. We had some storms blow through 10 to 15 miles to our north about an hour before first pitch, but nothing to the south and east, which is where the weather typically comes from. And, well, now it's approaching from the south and east. Here's the 1-0. Fastball lifted out towards shallow center. Miller goes out. Baez comes in. Baez calls him off and makes the catch. Marco Raya strands the runner at third. He's through three scoreless. We move to the fourth, tied here on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
We have fun nights ahead of you with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Saturday the 30th, John Grise from the hit movie Napoleon Dynamite will be on hand. The first 500 July ornament, $30, gets you a ticket to the game and admission to Beer Fest 4 with free samples from over 50 beers. Sunday the 31st brings the Southwest Florida Sports Card Mega Show, included with your game ticket from 9 till 4. Come out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Hook up on Twitter at Mighty Muscles for game day starting lineups, final scores, game recaps, promotions, and more. It's the best way to know what's happening right now, and total team info with rosters, stats, stories, and promotions is on the web at MightyMuscles.com.
This is Muscles pitcher Travis Adams, and you're listening to the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
John Vitas bringing you back live to TD Ballpark as we begin the fourth inning. We played three innings in 40 minutes, which is what happened the last time Marco Raya pitched on this mound. Not sure if anyone remembers, but that was the night where our broadcast went off the air because of technical issues. There's a swing and a miss, strike one. We missed a little bit over an hour, and when we came back on the air, we were in the top of the sixth inning. That game was lightning fast with Raya pitching, and it's happening again tonight. 0-1 is a swing and a miss, a tailing fastball down on Baez for strike two. Swanson gets so much movement on that heater. Feels like it accelerates and drops at the same time. Slider misses off the plate away, 1-2. I wonder if he puts that sinker back under the hands of Baez, who crouches down low from the right side. Holds the hands high and kind of chops at the ball. But he is a speed-first player, and he chops that one foul towards the third base side. Luis hitting 204 through his first 40 or so games with the Muscles. Joined the team in May from extended spring training. Hit right around 300 last year in the FCL. So he makes contact and he beats a lot of balls out. Pretty typical leadoff hitter. As the slider hits the knees for strike three. Four strikeouts for Matt Swanson. Baez down looking. And it sets the stage for Noah Miller.
Shortstop number 21, Noah Miller.
44 pitches so far for Swanson, so five or six. The pitch to Miller is a changeup fluttering low. Swanson pitched twice this year against the Muscles, once here and once in Fort Myers. 1-0, slider fouled back 1-1. The outing here on April 19th, same game that Raya pitched, four scoreless innings, two hits, five strikeouts. So the exact same game script to that April 19th meeting, Raya versus Swanson putting up quick zero after quick zero. Sinker misses outside 2-1 on Miller. When Swanson came to Fort Myers, he was just as good. Four scoreless at Hammond Stadium, three hits, no walks, three strikeouts. So including today, it's now 11 consecutive scoreless innings against the Muscles for Matt Swanson as that one sinks low for ball three. I don't think you could search any other pitcher in the Florida State League to have that kind of success against the Muscles this year. There's the 3-1, and a swing and a miss on a high fastball makes it 3-2. That line of dark clouds getting closer and closer. So that does not bode well for the remainder of this game. But we are in the fourth already. 3-2 is a little bit high. Close pitch. Miller wins the battle. And the Muscles finally have their first base runner. It's a one-out walk to Miller. It brings up Cavaco. Cavaco struck out on the slider his first time up. Was swinging it really well prior to the All-Star break. Did struggle the last two or three games before the break, but the 2 weeks before that was as good a stretch as we've ever seen from Keone, who swings through a slider for strike one. Now up to six home runs, leads the team with 37 RBIs. And playing a much stronger third base at this stage of the year. Here's the 0-1. Fastball, a strike, snap throw to first, the tag, and he's safe. Really close play at first. Some of the Blue Jays fans thought Miller was out on a good throw by Messia. Count moves to 0-2 on Cavaco. No score, top of the fourth. Muscles without a hit. They just picked up their first base runner. First baseman Nunez holds on Miller. 0-2 on Keone. The pitch is lifted over first base down the line. Could be trouble. Masson coming in, and that's going to land in fair. Good base running by Miller. He gets to second ahead of the throw. It's a pop fly single for Keone Cavaco. The Muscles have their first hit, and it brings up Rosario. First and second, only one out for the Muscles. Rosario, the only Muscle to reach double digits. He has 10 home runs through the first 82 games of the year. Messia comes out to give the signs. Muscles will not be bunting, though, in this spot. They almost never bunt. And with Rosario at the plate and one out, no chance they'll be laying it down here. Infield comes in a step to double play depth, but nothing out of the ordinary as Swanson deals. And the slider catches the inside corner as he front doors Kalai for strike one. Action starting to brew in the Dunedin bullpen. 54 pitches right now for Swanson, a guy who typically goes about four innings per outing. He deals, and the fastball picks off the outside corner, a perfect pitch for strike two. Runners take their leads. Miller being held on by Machado. And now Swanson steps off. Swanson's completed five innings on three occasions this year, but he's never pitched into the sixth. So he's been a five and fly type of guy. The pitch is a slider well off the plate for ball one. Messier did a good job stopping it to keep Miller at second. Next pitch, fastball low. Good take by Rosario again, 2-2. Swanson's season high in pitches is 78. So five innings, 78 pitches is his limit this year. Up to 57 pitches now in the fourth. Well, he's got some bullets left. The runners go, and it's rolled out to third. Coming in to get it, Del Rosario has to go to first, and the throw is there for the out. So the Muscles avoid the double play by putting the runners in motion on 2-2. It ends up paying off well for Brian Meyer as Miller moves to third, and Rosario, or rather Cavaco, goes to second on the Rosario groundout. Got jammed by the sinker. And now it'll be Cardenas in a huge spot. Especially with the rain approaching. We might not play nine innings tonight. So you can at least get through five before the rain and the lightning hit. Muscles would love to have the lead. That one's low for a ball, 1-0. Cardenas is the guy you want up there in this spot. He's got a very quick bat. So that heavy sinker in, he could turn on that pitch. 1-0 right now on him. Swanson sent to throw pitch number 60. Miller dances off towards third, backing up to get it Del Rosario. The throw across to first is on target to end the inning. So both pitchers able to strand runners as we move to the bottom of the fourth. Still no score on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Wednesdays have a little something for everyone at Hammond Stadium this year.
Bring your four-legged friends to see the Muscles for Bark in the Park.
Walk your dog and eat a dog.
As $1 hot dogs will be available all night long.
It's also Silver Sluggers night with a special ticket package available for our seniors.
Last,
but definitely not least,
it's ladies night. Ladies can enjoy 2-for-1 seltzers and wine.
That's Bark in the Park,
Dollar Dog Night,
Silver Sluggers,
and Ladies Night.
Every Wednesday here at Hammond Stadium.
Thank you.
This is Pearson Ohl, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Bottom of the fourth, no score here from TD Ballpark in Dunedin as Raya spins in a curveball inside for ball one. We mentioned the weather approaching, and it is approaching. The 1-0 from Raya is a fastball down below for ball two. I mean, it is as menacing a line of storms as we've seen all year. We took a look at the radar, and there is a massive blob of red crossing over the Tampa Bay right now. The 2-0, swing and a miss, and the batter lost his bat, and it goes into the crowd, strike one. Fortunately, nobody got hit, but somehow that bat went through the netting and very fortunately into an empty part of a section. So 2-1 now, the count on Gabby Martinez, who's going to get a new bat as that one ended up in the crowd. The usher comes over to get it. They typically will trade a bat for a ball in that situation. But the wind picking up now and starting to blow in, and it's only a matter of minutes before this storm hits, and this bat situation is going to cost Raya a few pitches, because once the rain hits, his night will be done. It's not going to be a short delay, even if we do get back on the field tonight. Here comes the 2-1. Breaking ball sits in for ball three. I mean, we've seen a ton of rain this year. It's typical for the Florida State League. But this looks like a really nasty line of thunderstorms coming to us from the south and east. And just minutes away. 3-1. Fastball swatted foul for strike two. Because the sun sets to the west, which is where the blue skies are, it's still sunny here at the ballpark. But as we look to the south and east, it's coming right at us here in the broadcast booth. Wind really picking up, and folks now starting to head for cover as it seems inevitable that we are about to get pounded by a thunderstorm. 3-2 pitch from Raya, and it's fouled off. That was a changeup bearing in. Raya just over 40 pitches, so he isn't even fully loose yet. And his day might be ended early because of weather. You can hear the wind on our crowd mic blowing straight in from right center field. 3-2. Looped out to shallow center field. Long run for Baez, who angles in and makes a running catch. So Luis able to get there just in time for the first out of the fourth.
First baseman, number
so that'll bring up Rainer Nunez. Of course, we are still at least 5 outs away from this game being official. Now, typically you can't play doubleheaders on back-to-back days, and of course, we have a doubleheader scheduled for tomorrow, a makeup game from Hammond Stadium. That one's lifted in the air right side. Cespedes coming in and now across the first base line. Will fight the wind and make the catch. The wind blew the hat off his head just as he caught that ball. And there's two down now for Soto Longo. But I think if it's an abbreviated doubleheader or, you know, a suspended game that you pick up, you can play back-to-back doubleheaders. So if we can't continue today and it's not official, as the pitch in is a strike at the knees, we would be able to play a modified doubleheader tomorrow and then a typical doubleheader on Sunday. We're not quite at that point yet, but it's looking more and more imminent. Fastball nails the knees for strike two. No score here in the bottom of the fourth. Raya kicks and deals, and it's nubbed in front of the plate. Cardenas pounces, takes charge, and makes the throw to first on the money for the out. So Raya gets through. It's four scoreless, two hits, five strikeouts. As we head to the fifth, the weather report now being delivered to the umpires, and they can see what's coming. Both teams have had four turns at bat. And Swanson and Raya typically go about four. Actually, Dunedin's bringing in a reliever right now. So this would be a fair point to pause the game if we're only a matter of minutes away from a storm and if there's lightning in the area. As the grounds crew comes out to give the weather report to the umpires, we're going to turn our crowd mic off as we don't want it to get blown away or rained on. But there is a righty coming out of the bullpen right now for the Blue Jays. We'll see what they decide, if they think they can get another half inning in or if they go ahead and stop this game right now. And it looks like we may continue on here. at least for a couple more batters, as the umpires have seen the report. Of course, the other factor is, with storms like this, it can strike so quickly that you might not have time to put the tarp on the field, especially with all this wind. So it's, in this situation, it's not just a matter of pulling the tarp, it's a matter of pushing it out there, pulling it, and then getting weights on the tarp so it doesn't blow away. Otherwise, you can expose parts of the infield. But it looks like they're going to keep it where it is as the reliever warms up. So we'll be right back on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah!
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo-hoo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the Always Flexible Voucher Plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for six games and include parking and six hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half-season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full-season ticket plan for $330. Full-season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330.
This is Muscles third baseman Keone Cavaco, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
We play on here in the fifth inning at TD Ballpark as Mikey Perez takes a strike on the outside corner 0-1. It'll be Cardenas and Aguiar to follow in the top of the fifth inning. New pitcher in the game is Perez Gonzalez, as that one misses low for a ball 1-1. It sounds like we're broadcasting in a closet. It's because we kind of are. We've shut the windows, buttoned down the hatches as this heavy storm approaches. That one's inside and it hit him. Mikey got hit on the front thigh there as he tried to spin out of the way. It's a leadoff base runner for the Muscles with Cespedes coming up next. Now, those dark clouds in the distance have lightened a bit. We assume it's pouring over the bay where those clouds are coming from, but there are still major strokes of lightning looking towards left field as Nathaniel Perez Gonzalez comes in. Runner on first, nobody out. The pitch to Cespedes is a chopper right side towards the hole. Coming over to get it is Machado. The flip to the pitcher goes over the head of Perez. Now they throw to second to try and get Mikey Perez, and he's safe. Mikey able to dive back into the bag. And the first two Muscles are aboard. We'll see how they score that one. That could be an infield single for Cespedes. And the table is set for Carlos Aguiar. So it's starting to look like we might not get as much heavy rain as it initially appeared, but there's definitely still plenty of dangerous weather in the area here. As Aguiar gets set to face one of the two Nathaniel Perez's on this team, it's nice that they've differentiated the two by adding a last name to this Nathaniel Perez, which is the thicker of the two Perez's. The other Nathaniel is skin and bone. This one more well-built, the right-hander deals. And it's grounded towards first base. High hop handled by Nunez. Goes to second for one. Relay to first, not in time. Good throw by DeCastro. But Aguiar has far too much speed. And it's a fielder's choice, 3-6. So now it'll be Nigro. First and third, one out. Muscles looking to take the lead here. They did give Cespedes credit for an infield single, by the way, on that chopper to the right side. And we can hear the thunder now beyond that left field wall. Perez deals, and the fastball just missed low for ball one. Perez dangles the arm, gets the sign from Messia. The pitch to Frank. Fastball chopped foul. That one hit the glove of the catcher and trickled into foul ground. 1-1 on Frank, who has played at has been at every level of the Twins organization this year. He didn't play in AA or AAA, but was active on the roster for a few days and also played in high A with Cedar Rapids, was in the complex last year after signing as an undrafted free agent. 1-1, runner goes, pitches down and away. Messi is throw on target, but they get him in a rundown. And in to score is Mikey Perez. Brilliant coaching by Brian Meyer. With the storm closing in, he gets Aguiar in a rundown, and Perez comes in to score. And if the Muscles somehow win 1-0, will win his team the game. So there's two outs, nobody on now. It kind of fast-forwards things a little bit as well. Now you almost tell Nigro to get yourself out so you can get back to the mound and try and finish this game. Here's the pitch. And the changeup just missed low. 3-1 on Nigro with Baez on deck. And that is just knowing the situation for Brian. The human element of the game, keeping an eye on the weather and putting on a base running play to get a run. Nigro shoots one foul down the right field side out of play, strike two. There's that wind again on our crowd mic. It seems like the clouds towards left field now are a bigger threat than the ones that were looming in center earlier. The darker ones have lightened up. As the fastball just missed outside, so Nigro draws the walk. And that gets the Muscles a base runner for Luis Baez.
The call of ball has been upheld. The result is a walk.
Blue Jays challenge that one, but they lose the challenge.
Now batting number 11, Luis Baez.
So they're down to two now as Baez steps in. Perez works from the first base side of the rubber against Baez. Here's the pitch, and the slider gets Baez to wave and miss for strike one. Baez struck out swinging in the first, struck out looking in the fourth. But he's seen a lot of pitches tonight. Between the two at-bats, he's seen 16 pitches. You can almost smell the rain now. Here comes the 0-1. And it misses low, 1-1 on Luis. Lakeland Flying Tigers visiting the Tampa Tarpons tonight across the bay where this weather is coming from, and they are in a rain delay. They have yet to start that game at Steinbrenner Field. Fastball nails the outside corner for strike two. They're at home in Jupiter and Clearwater. 1-2, got him. Good slider to end the inning. Perez gets out of it, but the Muscles strike for a run. 4 miles to our south and east, the Threshers are in a rain delay at their ballpark with Bradenton visiting tonight. Muscles have their lead. They need three more outs to make this game official. We'll be right back on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Take me out to the ball game.
Yeah! Take your age 14 and under child to Hammond Stadium with a special package just for those with a ticket to every Sunday home game, t-shirt, and giveaways, admission to bounce houses and other entertainment, and a chance to bring Muscle Man to their school. Muscle Sprouts packages are only $33 per child and $16.50 for each additional child. Call Austin Dutton at 239-533-7663 to join today.
Hammond Stadium's newest neighbors are bringing Coldwater Seafood to the next level. Introducing Coldwater Oyster Market, the area's newest sports bar with 44 taps, 24 HD TVs, and the freshest seafood in town. Pick from a wide selection of fresh oysters, lobster rolls, mussels, crab cakes, and more. Better yet, bring your Muscles game ticket to Coldwater for a free cup of award-winning New England clam chowder or Scotty's Mighty Muscles Blonde Ale. That's Coldwater Oyster Market, located on 6 Mile Cypress, just 2 miles south of Hammond Stadium.
You're listening to Muscles Baseball Live on the home of the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
John Vitas bringing you back live to TD Ballpark, and there is an argument right now between Brian Meyer and the umpires. The umpires have called for the tarp here in the middle of the fifth with Fort Myers 3 outs away from winning this game. They just scored to go up 1-0 as the tarp is being pulled across the outfield right now by the Blue Jays staff. We've had some light drizzle. It is dark as can be here, but the heavy system that was approaching from the south and east has certainly been broken up as it's dumped a ton of rain in the Tampa Bay area, but we are further north and west, and it's only drizzling right now. The wind continues to be very strong, but it looks like it's breaking up, which means that they might be able to continue playing here, and Brian is arguing that, and he is really fired up with both umpires because it was their call to pull the tarp. We had enough time to play three more outs, which would have ended it with a Mussels victory. Carlos Hernandez, the pitching coach, coming over to try and break it up and also give his 2 cents as well. Marco Raya had started to warm up for the fifth to try and get a potential complete game shutout in 5 innings. And that's probably part of the reason Brian is upset. They're trying to get Marco innings, and he'll lose one here with this rain delay unless they're able to just pull the tarp off in a few minutes. But he is likely done after 4 innings tonight. And in the middle of the fifth, we have ourselves a delay. We mentioned that 4 miles to our south and east, the Threshers are in a delay against Bradenton. And so there's no doubt that they're nearby. But we have been just north and west of the system where there's been no significant rain as of yet. They also did tell this pretty healthy Friday night crowd in Dunedin to take cover, which means there is lightning within a certain range of the stadium. We saw plenty of strokes of lightning beyond the left field wall over the last 2 innings. And even though this system seems to be breaking up, it is close enough, providing enough lightning close enough, that they have decided to stop the game here in the middle of the fifth. So what we'll do is we'll play our usual interviews. We'll play our interview from earlier today with the 2022 Killebrew Root Beer Professional Scout Hall of Fame inductee Joe McDonald. Joe is a 5-time World Series champion and the general manager for 3 different teams before settling into a 15-year scouting stint with the Boston Red Sox. And he will be inducted into the Scouting Hall of Fame at Hammond Stadium in late August when we play Lakeland. And we got a chance to interview Joe for his induction. We have putting together a video about him. And so we'll give you a snippet of our interview with him, a 6-minute snippet of what was close to an hour interview with Joe McDonald, longtime Major League executive. And then we'll play plenty of interviews with our Mighty Mussels players and coaches as well. And we'll give you an update in 15 to 20 minutes here on the Mighty Mussels Baseball Network as we wait out this thunderstorm cell at TD Ballpark in Dunedin. Once again, we're in the middle of the fifth with the Mussels leading 1-0.
There's no better way to let off some steam than axe throwing. But ever wish the party could come to you? Well, now it can. Introducing Chuck It Axes, the mobile axe throwing company that'll bring the party to your front yard, backyard, parking lot, or business. Chuck It offers one-on-one coaching for all ages and skill levels and is fully insured. To schedule your axe throwing party today, call 239-851-AXES or visit chuckitaxes.com. Life is short. Chuck It!
How do you follow the crack of the bat? With the boom of fireworks.
Friday night fireworks.
After every Friday evening home game, the lights go down and the fireworks go up into the Southwest Florida sky. Wrap up your evening at the ball game with the booms, bangs, and sparkles of a professional fireworks show after every Friday home game. One more way to have a family-friendly great time from your Fort Myers Mighty Mussels.
so on it because of the people who are in there ahead of me. I have such great respect and admiration for scouts. I became one myself. In fact, I was a scout when I was a kid working at Evers Field. I was literally scouting the players I was looking at. So to me, they are the most wonderful, unappreciated group. I mean, they should be in Cooperstown as well, not to put down Fort Myers. I think it's fantastic what you've done in recognition of the scouts, because without them, we don't play the game. Everybody else gets in the Hall of Fame, broadcasters, writers. What about scouts? I'm talking about Cooperstown. But in the meantime, I feel very privileged and honored, and I thank you all.
Why do you think it's so important for scouts to be recognized, and why are they such an important part of the fabric of baseball?
We don't play the game. We don't have our players if we don't have scouts recommending them. Now you can say, well, they'll be seen anyhow. But the blood and guts of our game has always been the young players that are signed by scouts. Naturally, they have to have approval of the front office, but they're the ones that do the hard, hard work. When I hear about scouts, the first thing I think of is hard work.
When you were scouting, or I guess I should say when you started your career before technology and GPSs and being able to Zoom with coaches and everything, what were some of the challenges of, you know, finding the stadium, finding players? Is it a lot more word of mouth than it is today?
Well, I can remember in northern Florida going past one diamond in the woods four times. And I finally went into a luncheonette or something, and I got word where it was. That was frustrating. I missed a couple innings of the game. And from that day forward, I had great respect. That's just one little particle is trying to find the stadium. And then, of course, it's a fun thing to actually go online and see what everybody has seen. In my case, it might have been a follow-up on a player. But the frustration all around, the cancellations, the managers who decide not to pitch so-and-so when it was a foregone conclusion he was going to pitch. And meanwhile, you've traveled, you've stayed over at motels. That's the life of a scout that few people can appreciate unless you did it yourself. And that's why I always have a great feeling for scouts. And I was one myself.
For a long time.
For a long time. I had a policy that if you want to drive your car to spring training, I'll reimburse you for the equivalent air coach fare. However, when you arrive in Homestead, Florida, and you break with a club, I don't want to hear anything about your car. I want you to travel as a team on a bus to wherever you're going. So what you do with that car is your problem. Well, my good buddy Jerry and the other two Jerrys, they put their heads together, and let's say we're all driving. In that way, I will reimburse each one of them the equivalent air coach fare. So it was Jerry Kuzman's car. And they all got together up in Georgia or someplace wherever they were coming from, and they got in an accident, a serious accident. So Jerry called me, and I just wanted to know, is anybody hurt? And he said, no, we're all right. I said, well, get your fanny in here. And then Jerry was hard-pressed for money, so I loaned him $50. Now, fast forward, we have a meeting with all of my instructors and minor league managers, some seven or eight in number, not a great many like they have today. And I have a list that I comprise of players who should be considered to be released at the end of spring training. toward the end, but I won a meeting beforehand, and I had names on there, and one of the names was Jerry Kuzman. And I went around the room and asked each of those former Burden, Frank Larry guys that I respect greatly and their opinion. And I went around the room and I asked, should we release these players? And Kuzman was one of them. And they all said yes. Now, some of them declined to say anything because they hadn't seen him. But one or two did see him. And consequently, I then said, now hold it right there, boys. I loan Kuzman $50. He's got to break with a ball club for me to get the $50 back. Consequently, he was not released and went up to Auburn, New York. And I got the $50 with his off his first paycheck. I took the $50, I meaning the club, took the $50. And that's the story on Mr. Kuzman.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch. Today we get the chance to sit down with Mighty Muscles outfielder and Twins prospect Carlos Aguiar. Carlos, how you doing?
I'm good, really good. Enjoy this time, this opportunity with you right here.
We're also joined with Chris Duarte, who can help out with a little Spanish if need be. But Carlos, first of all, you're hitting really well right now. 6 home runs in your first 20 games with the Muscles. In the last 5 games, you've hit 4 homers and you're 10 for your last 19. How have you been able to have so much success in the past week?
I was working a lot in the cages with the coaches and doing some drills. And I don't know, I think that's what I'm working on. That's why I'm working really, really hard every single day.
What are some specific things that you've worked on with your swing to be able to hit for so much power?
I use heavy bats, so that can help me a lot because I don't need to make too much swings, so just trying to see the ball and hit it.
Now, you hit 8 homers in the GCL last year, but this stretch of 4 homers in 1 week, have you ever hit so many home runs in such a short amount of time?
I did in one opportunity. I was in FCL. That time I hit 2 home runs on different games, like 2 home runs one game, and then I did again a few days after.
But this stretch is probably the best you felt in a while?
Yeah, for sure. The best, I think, is very good. And more right here with the Muscles is a good experience with the team.
What's your approach when you get to the plate? Are you thinking home run or do you think single to center field? What's kind of your thought process when you're looking at pitches?
Well, when I'm thinking right there, it's just trying to make the adjustment just with one pitch and be ready for the fastball and make the adjustment for the curveball or any off speed.
Now, you've played all the positions in the outfield throughout your time with the Twins. Between center, left, and right, where do you think you can play long term?
Maybe I can play right field because, I don't know, I feel very good right there. And the same thing with left field. Center field, I can play too, but I feel very good in right field and left field.
Now, you've been with the Twins for quite a while. You were signed at the end of 2017. You spent 2 years at the complex in the Dominican Republic. What was life like in Boca Chica and at the complex, and how do you think you improved as a player there?
A lot of work. Yeah. The first time that you are there, you need to work, to help your teammates too. And I'm working right there. You need to work to get it here and the FCO and the other leagues.
What's the schedule like? How early do you wake up and when are you done at the Dominican complex? Is it the same as the Fort Myers complex?
It's a little bit the same, but when I was there, I wake up 6:30 a.m. and maybe done at 3 Yeah.
So it's early in the day.
Yeah.
We're joined with Carlos Aguiar, Mighty Muscles outfielder, Chris Duarte helping out as well. For this season and moving forward, what are some goals for you? Are you trying to improve a certain skill, or are you trying, you know, obviously Cedar Rapids is everybody's goal here, but is there a statistic or something you're trying to achieve before the end of the season?
Keep working hard. That's my goal. Keep working hard, keep making impression in with the team, trying to help my team, and always play as a team, like not like individual, because we are a team. And I think my goal for this year is more like help my teammates be a better person and keep working hard.
Before we let you go, I did want to ask about life in Venezuela. You grew up in Valencia. You got signed by the Twins out of there. What other teams were you talking to, and ultimately, why did you pick the Minnesota Twins?
That was in January. I was talking with my coaches right there, and they asked me like what team I can you know be with, and I don't know, I think Minnesota Twins, they have a lot of opportunity for the players right here. You can learn like inside, and you can like, if you still studying, you can keep studying, like that's a great opportunity for me, and I feel that the best team for me was Minnesota Twins.
Now, before you signed with the Twins, what was life like in Valencia? Did you have family and friends around? What did you do for fun besides baseball?
I don't like too much go out. More spend time with my family. I don't know, I think the most important for me is spend time with my family, trying to enjoy my family every single day. And with the friends too, yeah. But not too much. Outside with friends and parties, no.
any other sports or just baseball?
Just baseball. I love baseball.
And that's the sport in Venezuela, right? The most popular?
The most popular sport is baseball.
And when did you learn so much English? Was it before the Twins, or was it here at the complexes? I know they give you classes at least once a week.
Yeah, I was learning a lot of English with Linda in like three times a week. Every day I was like, okay, I need to keep learning English, because they're gonna help me in the future with maybe one interview, or if I need to talk with my teammates, maybe I'm gonna be with Latin people right there, so I need to learn.
Well, no interpreter was needed in this interview. Great job, Carlos. We enjoy getting to know you today, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all and for this interview.
First pitch is coming up next.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you set for this matchup between the Clearwater Threshers and your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Today we're sitting down with Muscles reliever Jackson Hick. Jackson, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. So let's go ahead and start by talking about this season. So far this season, you've been one of the Muscles' most consistent relievers on the squad. What has it been like for you in your first full year of affiliated ball?
It's been a lot of fun. We've got a great group of guys in the clubhouse, great defense behind me that I can really trust. So I felt like if I just go ahead and attack hitters, let them put the ball in play, I know that the defense behind me is going to make those plays. So obviously it's a lot of fun having a defense like that that you can trust behind you.
Yeah, and your velocity has gone up this year over the course of the season, started around 92, now up to about 94 on the fastball. What's been the biggest change for you over the course of the season?
Really just working with Jared and Carlos, our two pitching coaches, just working on kind of cleaning up my mechanics a little bit, keeping all my momentum, working through home plate. They've had all sorts of great drills and things in my outings that have definitely helped a lot.
So what is the biggest confidence boost for you when you're on the mound here? Because Hammond Stadium, one of the tougher places to play. What is it like for you? Obviously, you mentioned the defense, but is there anything else here that makes it easier for you to just sort of turn everything off and pitch as well as you have?
Obviously, a great fan base here. Always nice to be playing in front of the home fans, and just getting to play here over Instructs last year, spring training this year, kind of be comfortable with the mound, be comfortable with the stadium. Definitely makes going out there a lot easier every night.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about before you got here. You started at UNC Chapel Hill in their club team. So what was that like, that whole experience?
Yeah, definitely a little bit different background than most of the guys on the team or pretty much anyone else on the team. But yeah, it was a great, great experience for me. I was able to kind of have a leadership role on the club baseball team. I was president of the team my senior year, so I was able to kind of coach that team and be the third base coach, and really enjoyed my time there. I had a lot of great friends on the team that I'm still in contact with, so it was definitely an enjoyable 4 years there.
So what was it like? Because in a few interviews you've done about it, you talked about how not having actual coaches. What is it like trying to coach yourself, especially as a pitcher who sometimes you rely on that coach to calm you down or give you feedback on what's happening?
Yeah, it definitely made me grow up a little bit quicker, just having to kind of figure things out for myself and kind of diagnose what was going wrong if I was struggling during an outing. Helped me kind of make adjustments quicker, and I think that's obviously helped me make the transition into affiliated ball.
Yeah, so, you know, you started in your senior year, and then after your senior year, you started looking into going to grad school before deciding to go into independent ball. So what was that process like for you trying to figure out what to do between grad school or taking a year off as you did?
Yeah, so the plan was always I was going to finish up my undergrad career and then go to grad school to get a degree in sports management and hopefully work in a front office. And then COVID hit the spring of my senior year. So the grad program that I was going to, it was going to be all online. And I didn't feel like it was going to be worth the cost of the program to just get online classes. So I decided on taking a gap year. I got a position as an AmeriCorps service member working for Habitat for Humanity. And after work every day, I'd go train at this facility back home, Baseball Rebellion in Durham, just working on getting stronger, improving my mechanics. And kind of that spring of 2021, sat down with my coaches there and kind of recognized, like, I've got the potential to get signed by an independent league team. We found some tryouts up in Ohio and Michigan, made the trip out of the Westside Woolly Mammoths of the United Shore Professional League up in Michigan.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about, before we go back into the baseball side of things, you were a political science major, correct? So talk about what that's like. You know, you were studying war, if I'm not mistaken, according to what I've read. But talk to me a little bit about that, going from baseball to studying war.
Yeah, my major was political science and peace, war, and defense. It was a double major at UNC. So, yeah, I never really thought about going into the international relations aspect of it or the war aspect of it. I just it was kind of a unique major at UNC, and it was I got to take some really interesting classes with some, like, world-renowned professors who, like, one of them on the weekends would go to, like, Japan to do talks there, or go to another country to do archaeological digs that look at ancient ruins. So just getting to have that experience was really cool, and even though it's not relevant to my current career, something that was still valuable for me.
Yeah, so going back to baseball, after you were signed into the independent ball, what was the next step in processes for you? Obviously, before you got scouted and signed with the Twins, what was the next step for you, and how did you stay competitive before you got here?
Yeah, the league that I was in, the United Shore Professional League up in Michigan, that was a real good league for developing pitchers. Two of the other Muscles pitchers, Malik Barrington and Jordan Carr, they were both up there playing at the same time as I was. So obviously that league's had some success at being kind of a pipeline into the Twin system. So they were really good at giving us the opportunities to play in front of scouts, play some real good competition, and just get our names out there a little bit more. So it was definitely a very valuable experience helping me get to where I am now.
So what was the conversation like when you found out that you were going to get signed with the Twins or signed with an organization in general? Was there any other interest, or was it just the Twins?
I don't know if there was any other interest. We had practice one morning And I was back in my apartment in Michigan. My manager at the time was Taylor Jelikowski, who was a former Fort Myers Miracle player, former Minnesota Twins player. And Jelly called me. I was sitting down to eat lunch and picked up the phone. I thought it was going to be a call about my start the next day. And instead he was like, hey, what are you doing right now? I'm like, sitting down eating a cupcake, actually. And he goes, well, pack your stuff up. The Twins just signed you and you're going down to Fort Myers tomorrow. So obviously kind of a life-changing phone call. Immediately called my parents. My mom almost shattered my eardrum screaming through the phone. But yeah, really awesome day. And then getting to have a couple of my friends up there, like Malik and Jordan, was actually my roommate up in Michigan. So getting to kind of be special.
Coming down here from Fort Myers, it's a big change from Michigan or even North Carolina. So what was it like, A, transitioning down here, but B, having Malik and Jordan there to help you?
Yeah, it definitely was helpful. Just kind of having some familiar faces around the academy. Everyone obviously is super friendly here, though, so it wasn't a crazy difficult transition. And the Twins have been super welcoming. There's all the coaching staff has been great from the minute we got here. All the support staff's been really helpful. So yeah, it was nice to have all that to just come down here and be able to kind of hit the ground running once we got focused on the baseball stuff.
What's the biggest thing that the Twins have worked on with you or helped you work on since you've come down here to Fort Myers?
Just kind of understanding myself in terms of my pitching profile, because like you touched on, I never really had any sort of coaching in terms of the pitching side of things. So just having the data to know that, like, this is what my pitches do, this is how my fastball moves, this is how my slider moves, how my splitter moves, and just kind of understanding, like, the best way to use those pitches, where to throw them, what sort of counts to throw them, just kind of maximize my arsenal and what those pitches can do. That's been super valuable.
All right, and last question before we get into some fast questions. What do you feel like is the biggest thing that you're going to take both here from Fort Myers but also from the Twins organization in general as you move up through it?
Just continue to know myself and trust myself, and just trust that if I attack hitters with my best stuff in the zone that I can have success.
Perfect. All right, let's get into some quick fire questions real quick. Number one, what is your favorite flavor of sunflower seed?
Dill pickle.
All right, what is your go-to food at the stadium?
I'm a vegetarian, so it'd have to be popcorn.
Okay. Now, what is it like being a vegetarian in sort of the minor league clubhouse? Because it's obviously a lot of fast food and things like that. What is it like for you?
A lot of PB&J sandwiches, a lot of small snacks, protein bars, things like that. Luckily, there's a lot of options around here for me.
Perfect. All right, last question. If you were stuck on a deserted island, what three Muscles teammates are you taking with you and why?
Ooh, I'd probably take Nick Rimmel, my roommate on the road, Malik, my roommate at home, and then Sam Perez, because him and Malik's interactions are really funny together.
Who's the funniest guy in the bullpen?
Reggie Grace.
Well, how so?
He does some really good impressions and just always has something off the wall that he can say that breaks any tension or can lighten the mood at any time.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jackson. When we come back, it'll be first pitch.
Pearson with Jackson Hicks last week in Fort Myers. We are giving you an update here from Dunedin as we play the first game of a four-game series between the Blue Jays and the Mighty Muscles. The tarp is about to come off the field here at TD Ballpark. The tarp crew is ready to roll here at the Blue Jays spring training complex. We are in the middle of the fifth inning with the Muscles on top 1-0. Both starting pitchers are done. Swanson went four and was pulled before the delay. Marco Raya came out to warm up for the fifth, and even though this delay has only been about 30 minutes so far, he probably won't come back out, having been through four, which has been about his normal outing this season. But we're also not guaranteed that we'll continue tonight. They're going to assess the field once the tarp is pulled. A decent amount of rain fell in the first 15 minutes or so once we went off the air with the interviews. But over the past 10 minutes or so, there's been no rain at all. There are still some pretty dark clouds to our east here. And we've seen some bolts of lightning over the past 10 minutes. So there is still weather kind of simmering around the stadium and still a threat. But right now there's no rain, and the amount of rain that did fall was fairly significant, but not enough to form any puddles on the field. So it's obviously damper. The outfield's probably slick, and the concourse where the fans walk is certainly slick. But there's no visible puddles anywhere on the field, and they got the tarp on the infield before any rain fell. So they're dumping the tarp in shallow left field right now. And if I had to guess, I would say we probably continue on and finish this game through nine innings tonight. But that decision will be made by the two managers over the next 10 minutes or so. So we'll probably play one or two more interviews before we have a definitive restart or a suspension of this game in the middle of the fifth inning. Just wanted to give you the update, but it is positive news in terms of finishing this game tonight. We'll take one more break, and when we come back, we'll play some more interviews. It'll be Noah Cardenas next up on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Nobody starts the day thinking they're going to finish it in the hospital, but personal injury happens, and having a strong advocate to represent you before an insurance company or the court is invaluable. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in traffic court and personal injury litigation from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. Before you sign anything, reach out to the law office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
You got a group? We got a group deal. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles group ticket packages include discounts and bennies for your family, friend group, church, team, or business. Call the Mighty Muscles business office today at 239-768-4210.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you set for first pitch between the Muscles and the Blue Jays. We're joined in this segment with Muscles catcher Noah Cardenas. Noah, thanks for the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
First year at this low-A level playing in the Florida State League. You were drafted in the eighth round last year out of UCLA. My first question is just, what are your opinions of this level? How does it match up to your expectations?
Absolutely. I mean, opinions of this level is a lot like UCLA. As far as you see a lot of college guys, but you also see a lot of, like, Dominican arms who are kind of like groomed to almost like kind of pitch in college if they were kind of in that level or in that area. So a lot of similarities for sure to college, at least at this level. So it's been nothing crazy for me personally, but it's been really fun to be a part of. This team's really fun. I love being here with these guys, a lot of college guys on this team, and then a lot of Dominicans who like speak pretty good English, and then we have some guys who can translate and stuff. So so far this season's been unreal, and I expect it to keep going.
So basically a Pac-12 level, maybe a little more consistent velocity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you spent 3 years at UCLA, but last year after getting drafted, you spent quite a bit of time at the complex in Fort Myers. You're used to the dry air of California, having to spend a couple months in the summer in Florida at the GCL level, where you're getting a couple at-bats here, a couple at-bats there, having to get to know, you know, 50 new pitchers that you're working with. What was that like last year, kind of getting thrown into the fire with the Twins?
Yeah, I mean, right away, as soon as I got drafted, it was just an amazing experience. And Florida hit me right away because those months are kind of like the toughest to be out there for. And the weather's completely opposite of California, where as if it's like overcast, it's kind of a nice day. But in Florida, if it's overcast, it's like your nightmare because, you know, you get the humidity and really good chance that it's going to rain. So it's a lot different. But yeah, definitely the language barrier was really tough. But I mean, every day I was just walking around trying to learn new words around the guys and like kind of understand their stuff from like translators and things like that. But also I felt like I had to go through like a huge development as far as like pitch calling and stuff like that, just because where the game's going kind of like numbers wise and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. Just kind of understanding it from a different lens. So I'm kind of glad that I was able to slow down, and they gave a lot of the draft guys a little time at the complex to kind of understand everything that we're going to be introduced to. So that was a really good time for me to kind of improve myself as a player and as a pitch caller as well.
Yeah, most of you guys spent over a month at that draft camp, if not 2 months. What were some of the bells and whistles the Twins have that surprised you? I know you can't get too into the software, but was there something, I'm sure UCLA had some pretty cool tools too, but what was something that maybe the Twins had that you never saw before?
I would just say just all the technology around the pitchers. I mean, it's a nightmare for me as a catcher because in between every pitch, they're looking at like what their numbers are doing and what that. So that, I mean, that extends bullpens probably an extra like that, and understanding what a pitcher's trying to do for the most part. Just UCLA, our coach for the most part kind of looked into the numbers, didn't like want like his own players like to be looking into him as much. But I mean, he did a great job there, but it's just a whole different like philosophy as far as like letting the player understand like his full abilities and like kind of where he works best at. So like north south guys, east west guys, just whole transition as far as that. And then obviously, you know, like the whole one knee thing here in this organization, like they're unbelievable at like teaching receiving really well. So Joe's been doing a great job, and Tuck have been helping me a lot, and Jason. So just kind of learning that, and here with Yoshi, he's been kind of like helping us continue and improving on what we worked on in spring training and stuff. So yeah, all that stuff's just been huge for me.
So would you say in college, you guys or the coaches were the filter for that information, and now in pro ball, they're kind of handing the reins over to the player to be your own filter for all that analytical information?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say our coach definitely had the iPad, and like, I mean, there was no pitcher in between pitches looking at the iPad. That would have been frowned upon really quickly. But here it's all the information to the player, and kind of gives the player his leeway to kind of take control of his own career and use the numbers to their advantage.
We're joined with Muscles catcher Noah Cardenas. You had 3 years as the starting catcher at UCLA. You hit over 300 in your career. You played in the Cape Cod League. You batted close to 400 as a freshman. Was it as glorious as it sounds?
It was as glorious. I would have liked to stuck to some things as a freshman that I did really well, and kind of not try to like improve on more things, when rather like success be success and just kind of let it ride. But I'm very happy with where I'm at in my career. I think I'm supposed to be here for a reason, so I wouldn't take any of it and change it. I learned from all my experiences, and yeah, I mean, it was as glorious as it sounds. UCLA was unbelievable. Like you said, the weather and everything was just, it was an amazing time.
And the travel, obviously, in the Pac-12, you're going to some pretty cool cities as well. You have a very rare opportunity here to play with one of your college teammates, Mikey Perez. You guys were drafted together, I believe, on the same day last year, at the day three of the draft, coming from UCLA straight to the Twins. What's it been like getting to share this whole experience with someone you've known for quite a while?
It's been unbelievable. I knew Mikey ever since I was probably a going into my freshman year. We played on the same summer ball team in Portland. We played for the Portland Pickles. So I've known him for a while, and really happy he's here. Really cool to kind of like share experiences of like UCLA and like where we're at now, and just kind of look back in some old times and have someone there to like relive them with me and kind of give me verification and some of those funny stories. So it's great having him here.
Yeah, I'm sure plenty of inside jokes and names that you two can drop that nobody else will understand.
Yeah.
In terms of your game at UCLA, what were some focal points? What were some things you really worked on that you think helped yourself get drafted?
I think it all started defensively for me. I had a really good freshman year with the bat, but defensively, I think, you know, guys like Stevie Rodriguez, Nico Gallego helped me a lot, and David Berg, they all just kind of helped me as a me behind the dish as far as putting the right fingers down and like kind of learning the game from a different view. So I think all of them, Coach Ward, just amazing job with my offense and kind of helping me understand my swing more and put me in position to know what I'm doing at the plate. So just tribute to all those guys. But yeah, I learned definitely all on all cylinders.
You went to Mission Hills High School. You said you're from the Valley, kind of Central California area. What was it like growing up in that part of the country? I'm sure baseball was something you could play most months of the year.
Yeah. We played all the time. I stopped playing football when I was like fifth grade, and then basketball I played 1 year. So I wasn't that good at it. So then I just stuck to baseball all year. So, yeah, I mean, Mission Hills was about 30 minutes from my house, so I commuted there. It was a private school that I went to, and thankful that my parents were able to put me out there. And then It was a great time, and got to get closer to God just because my school and everything. So it was a good opportunity.
Was UCLA an easy choice for you? How early did you commit, and what other options were on the table at that point?
Yeah, UCLA came along really late. All schools came along really late. I kind of hit like a growth spurt. My junior summer kind of grew from like 5'5", like got to 6 foot, 6'1". I like to say 6'1", but we'll see. But yeah, I was able to go to UCLA and took a visit there, and my dad was mad at me. I remember on the way home, because he was like, "Why didn't you commit?" And I was like, I don't know. I don't know if that's like my, I grew up a USC fan. So like UCLA was kind of like, I don't know. I'd always make fun of my aunt cause she went there, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go there, but I went there and I loved Coach Savage and I loved the school. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go there. So,
did you keep your USC gear and stuff in your room while you were attending UCLA? How does that work now?
No, it's completely different. It's complete overhaul. Football's still a hard one for me to swallow, cause I like USC football a lot, but UCLA definitely, when they're playing USC, UCLA takes the reins. And then UCLA basketball has made it a little easier on me for cheer for them. But not as much USC stuff. I'd probably wear a Reggie Bush jersey out if I wanted to, but I don't have one right now. But still Reggie Bush era still gets me.
Just don't let Mikey see that Reggie Bush jersey.
Yeah.
We're gonna wrap it up here with some rapid fire questions. Mike or Noah has not seen these questions, so we're going right after you. We need a quick, short answer. We've got five. You ready?
Okay.
First question: which pitcher on the Muscles is so nasty that you don't want to catch him?
Juan Mendez.
What's the best pitcher you've had to hit against in your entire career, college or pro?
I'll say Kevin Abel.
If you had to eat food from one fast food chain for the rest of your life, where are you going?
In-N-Out Burger. I could have said that without you finishing.
What's the order?
Double-double with ketchup and cheese, cheese fry, and a Dr. Pepper.
Two words to describe my...
clumsy and hilarious.
If you could take three Mighty Muscles teammates to a deserted island for both survival and entertainment purposes, who are you bringing with you to get stuck?
Probably Juan Mendez, because he doesn't know much English, so it'd be fun to kind of like try to communicate with him. I'm not gonna choose any of like that's a tough one. Juan Mendez.
No Mikey will.
Yeah, no Mikey. Okay, then no Mikey, then Fedco. Probably Fedco would be funny to have there too, and then I feel like David Festa might be a good he's good at instructions. He'd get us going to work and getting food and everything, so we'd be good.
You got all your bases covered. Noah Cardenas, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we look forward to watching you play the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
First pitch is coming up next. Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch. Today we get the chance to sit down with Mighty Muscles pitcher Anthony Escobar. Anthony, thank you so much.
Thank you for this interview.
We also have Chris Duarte here to help out with a little Spanish as well. And Anthony, first of all, you have an ERA below one since coming back from Tommy John surgery a month or so ago. How do you feel right now after the surgery compared to how you expected?
Bueno, yo...
Ahorita, ahorita tú tienes un ERA abajo de uno. Todos sabemos de que tú tenías el Tommy John surgery. ¿Cómo tú te sientes ahorita y cómo tú has pensado que tú, si tú has superado las expectativas que tú tenías para ti mismo este año?
Yo me siento súper bien después de la cirugía, como que no pasó nada en la cirugía. Me siento bien del brazo, del cuerpo, y estoy trabajando para mejorar mi picheo y así poder conseguir buen trabajo cada vez que salga al terreno.
You know, I feel great. I feel fine. You know, I feel like, you know, coming after the surgery, you know, that, you know, there wasn't, you know, I guess to say that nothing really happened, but I feel good. The main thing with me now is just trying to improve each day and just, you know, and just trying to get the work in and go out there and just pretty much just trying to improve each time out, knowing that, you know, I'm coming off this surgery.
Now, you had the newer Tommy John surgery, which includes a brace on the UCL. Kenta Maeda had it with the Twins, and now more and more pitchers are going with it. You were able to get back on a mound in exactly a year from when you had the surgery, which is much faster than a lot of pitchers. Can you take us through your progression month by month and how you think it was faster than the regular Tommy John surgery?
Explica un poco por qué tú piensas que esta cirugía nueva con el brace, cómo eso te ha ayudado y te explica cómo mes por mes, cómo era ese viaje para estar ahorita de SAS.
Bueno, yo lo que tenía en mente era ponerla fuerte para estar de vuelta en el terreno. Los trainers me decían era, vamos a ver cómo va tu progresión. Eso se ve con el trabajo y vamos a ver cómo resulta. Y yo lo que pensaba era en volver al terreno fuerte y trabajar día a día, mi físico y mi mente.
First and foremost for me, it's just being mentally strong coming out of this. I knew that, you know, talking with my trainers, it would be a pretty much everyday thing, trying to see my progression each and every day. And from there, you know, we would basically assess it where I was. But for me, it was first and foremost is trying to be mentally strong and knowing that I wanted to be back out there stronger.
Now, you had a lot of success in the Dominican Summer League in 2018 and 2019 as a starting pitcher.
John Vitas bringing you back live to TD Ballpark in Dunedin. We just got word that tonight's game will resume at 8:40 p.m., so just under 20 minutes from now. The players have emerged from the dugouts and the clubhouses and have begun to warm up for the resumption of play. It'll likely be two new pitchers for both sides. We'll start in the bottom of the fifth. Muscles will, whoever they send out there, would try and vulture a win after Raya will be pulled after four innings. But it's 1-0 Fort Myers in the middle of the fifth. Some of the crowd starting to return to their seats. We haven't had any rain for a while now. After significant rain did fall for about 15 minutes, but the field took it well. And we will be continuing this game once again at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time in about 18 minutes from now. So we'll finish our interview with Anthony Escobar. We'll play one more after that, and then we'll be back live for the resumption of tonight's game.
Fantastic numbers. And then here in the United States, you've mostly been a relief pitcher and able to climb a little quicker through the system. What are the biggest differences for you being a relief pitcher, and why do you think you might be able to thrive in that role?
¿Cuáles son las diferencias saliendo del bullpen cuando tú eras un starter en el 2018-2019 y cómo eso te ha ayudado desde que tú estás aquí en los Estados Unidos?
Es muy diferente abridor como relevo, porque ya relevo ya tú tienes que ponerte para el juego de una vez agresivo. Abridor tú empiezas con tu juego, llevándolo, tienes el tiempo para calentar suficiente. Relevo no, tú tienes que mantener el juego como sea y salir de una vez agresivo y lo más rápido posible.
The biggest difference for me is, you know, being a starter, I kind of knew I had a game plan. I knew I had time to get ready. I knew what I was pretty much going to do. But now being a reliever, you know, you really don't have that time. You have to know that when you get out there, you have to be ready to attack. You have to be ready to go. And you're just basically thinking how I can get out of this inning as fast as I can.
Now, in your last outing against Clearwater, it seemed like you got a lot of swing and misses with the changeup, which is a pitch you said you've been working on. Take me through your whole attack plan, but what you're working on in particular with the changeup.
Explícame el plan tuyo cuando tú estás lanzando, cuando tú estás atacando a los bateadores, y cómo tú has mejorado con tu changeup, el cambio.
He mejorado el cambio. Gracias a Dios, porque lo he estado practicando. Cambié el agarre que venía tirando del año pasado. Tengo otro agarre y me ha ido mejor con ese agarre y me siento bien. Voy a seguir trabajando en mi picheo.
Y después, cuando tú estás lanzando, ¿cómo tú atacas a los bateadores? ¿Qué tú estás pensando?
Mi mentalidad es estar al frente, siempre adelante de ellos, favorable en la cuenta. Cuando yo tiro, empiezo atacando, un strike, dos strikes, tengo para trabajarlo como yo quiera después, porque estoy favorable en la cuenta.
The main thing for me is when I go out there and I attack batters is to always be ahead in the count, up front, trying to put myself in a very favorable position to get that out. And then for me, just been working on my changeup. It's just, you know, been, you know, trying to throw it each and every time, just, you know, trying to get better at it, different grips, and just trying to hammer away at it.
Now, Anthony, you're from Caracas, Venezuela. We talked to some of the other Venezuelans here at the complex, and they speak very highly of their hometowns. What was life like growing up, both as a baseball player and as a person with your family in Caracas?
¿Cómo era la vida allá en Venezuela? Primeramente jugando béisbol, pero también estar con la familia y con tus amigos allá.
Sí, bueno, yo comencé a jugar béisbol a los 4 años de edad, y ahí mi familia, mi papá, mi abuela me han apoyado siempre en el deporte, en los estudios. Esa es la vida que ellos querían que yo siguiera, y de ahí me enamoré del béisbol. Empecé a hacerlo con amor y gracias a Dios he conseguido muchas cosas buenas en la vida.
You know, I started playing baseball when I was 4 years old, and from there on, you know, I always had the support of my parents, my grandma, friends. So, you know, everyone was really supportive of what I was doing. And ever since then, you know, I just fell in love with the sport. I'm still in love with it now. And, you know, it's just so, you know, I'm very grateful to be where I am.
Welcome back to Mighty Muscles Pregame Live as we get you ready for first pitch between the Muscles and Dunedin Blue Jays. Today we get a chance to meet Nicholas Rimmel, Mighty Muscles relief pitcher. Nick, thanks for the time.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for the invitation.
You've got such an interesting story to talk about. You're from the nation of Germany. Not a lot of Europeans in professional baseball, but you're on the list. First of all, let's talk a little bit about this season. You're having a really good year so far in the Mighty Muscles bullpen. Last few outings in particular have been really solid. What have been some points of focus for you, and why do you think you're having success here at the low A level?
So for me, it's really just about, like, as a reliever, like filling up the strike zone, especially coming in later the game. Sometimes close situations. For me, it's really all it is just to, like, get my defense back into the dugout as quick as I can. And put a zero up there, obviously. And that's pretty much the mentality throughout our whole organization as a pitching staff, just to, like, fill up the zone, get ahead early, and, like, finish him right away. And I think that's why we as a team or as a pitching staff are very successful in general, just like putting up a lot of zeros. Yeah.
What pitches do you throw, and how do you like to get hitters out?
So I got a fastball, slider, changeup. Especially changeup has always, like, been my kind of like my favorite off-speed pitch. Lately, I've been using a slider a lot too, especially against righties. Depending on also like on how the hitter is, like his aggression level, like if he swings early, like mix it up early, for example, sometimes, but like especially later on in the count, like using my off-speed pitches more just to get him out.
You've been here with the Twins complex since 2018. I think you, Reggie Grace, and Laron Smith probably hold the record here in this clubhouse for most time spent here in Fort Myers. As someone who's been, you know, developed here on this property and now getting a chance to play night games and hopefully get out of here soon, what's the whole lifestyle like for folks who aren't familiar with it?
Just like over the last couple of years or this year in general?
The last few years. Like what's the day-to-day like, and how are they able to develop, you know, young pitchers like yourself?
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely different this year since I'm with the Muscles now, like in full season. Team environment it's definitely different, and your whole your daily schedule definitely looks different, but it's really just about like having the same kind of routines you pretty much like stick with. You just do it like earlier on, like over here we're pretty much doing the same stuff. Everything is just like schedule wise a little later. It's just like you said, it's been a couple of years. It's definitely been a grind just getting here. Very, very grateful for the situation and doing the best I can.
It's dorm style living, right? So you share a room with somebody else. I know you've got meals fed to you all day, every day.
Yeah.
Chefs over there, and then you've got game rooms. I heard there's a lot of ping pong going on.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like away from baseball?
It's definitely like living at the complex, sometimes can definitely be tough just because you have all the fields around, like you can't, sometimes it's tough, like, really like, get your head off, or your mind off baseball. But, the complex over there helps, or like the dorms over there help a lot with like the opportunities you have. We just try to like do whatever we can just to, like, get our head off a little bit. Like sometimes going out for grab some food or whatever. But definitely easier if you're like living outside somewhere and then just just coming here to play baseball. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, where do you think they excel in terms of developing? I know we talked with Laron about, you know, building strength, eating all the meals over there. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you've kind of grown up over there? How much weight or how much velocity have you added since you joined the complex?
I would definitely say so. Like I can still like whenever I look up my like look up my name like on the minor league side. I think I was back then I was like 6'3", 200 pounds, and I think by now I'm like 6'4", 6'5"-ish and like 230. So I definitely gained some weight and definitely got stronger over there. And that's pretty much the whole philosophy too, just like really like build your body, build your strength. Obviously put up some got better with my velocity too. I think when I came here the first time, I was pretty much like mid to high 80s, I would say. So sometimes topping out at 90, but like now I'm like pretty much consistently low 90s, and still a lot of room to like go up. Like a lot of more potential in me, I guess. Yeah.
We're joined with Nicholas Vrimmel, Mighty Muscles reliever. I did want to touch on your time in Germany a little bit. I guess before we get into that, tell me how you learned such great English, because you're completely fluent. Your accent's almost not even noticeable. How have you come along with your English, and how much did you know before you came to the States?
So I would say like my English was pretty much like it wasn't that good as it is right now. I have way more. I can speak like I'm speaking way more over here, obviously, but it's mandatory over there in school. So you learn it from fifth, sixth grade on, which helps a lot just to like, to communicate like, with all the people here. And since I'm pretty much the only one, except Max Kepler in Org, like I really don't have anyone. And, it's necessary, and I'm very, very thankful too to like that I learned it so early on, and helps a lot.
And I'm sure when the Twins and the professional teams from America were scouting you, you probably had no idea what you were about to get into. But obviously, knowing some English certainly helped. Tell me about that process of finding a home with a professional team. Obviously, you were an excellent high school, teenage pitcher over in Germany, and it's not a place where you get a lot of professional players to come from. So what was the process like getting in front of major league scouts and then getting to eventually pick the Twins?
So the process over there is definitely different compared to over here. You really just have a couple tournaments, like international tournaments, like European Championships, for example. I've been to a World Cup in like an under 15 World Cup in Mexico, and to a bunch of other international tournaments where you have.
We welcome you back to TD Ballpark here in Dunedin, ready to resume action after about a 1 hour rain delay here at the Blue Jay Spring Training Complex. I'm John Vitas welcoming you back as we pick it up in the bottom of the fifth inning. Blue Jays down 1-0, and Juan Mendez picks up on the mound for the Mighty Muscles. His first pitch is a fastball that drills the inside corner for strike one. This is J.C. Masson leading it off for the Blue Jays. He is a French-Canadian. Lined a single to left in his first low-A at-bat against Marco Raya earlier tonight. 0-1 is down and in. It is dark as can be now. They've got the bright LED lights, which they implemented last year when the Toronto Blue Jays played their regular season games here in Dunedin. Because of all the border rules during the pandemic, the 1-1. Fastball blown by Masson at 95 miles an hour for strike two. So the Muscles throw their two hardest throwers here at the beginning of game one of this series. Both Raya and Mendez, 93-97 with their fastballs, the 1-2. Slider got him swinging, nasty pitch, and Mendez starts with a strikeout. 1-0 Muscles here in the bottom of the fifth. Marco Raya, the starter, went four shutout. Two hits, no walks, five strikeouts. ERA dips deeper into the mid-twos for Raya. Top 10 prospect now in the Twin system showed you why tonight. Jumped up to number 8 during Baseball America's midseason update. Was number 18 before the update. Fastball inside, almost hitting Messia, ball one. So you've got Masson, who was just added after batting 339 in the FCL. Here is Messia, who was 3-47 in his first stint with Dunedin, and he's blown away by a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, 1-1. The ones that have stayed are up in the left field bar, Eddie's bar here at TD Ballpark, as the fastball is blown past Messia, strike two. Got to be honest, just before the delay, when those dark clouds were rolling in, I thought there was no chance we'd be able to continue on tonight. The game over at Steinbrenner Field in Tampa was postponed. They never even started that game. 1-2, got him, slider in the dirt, good stop by Cardenas. The throw to first is on target, and it's back-to-back strikeouts for Juan Mendez here in the fifth. It'll bring up Angel Del Rosario. One nothing Muscles, one out away from making this an official game. There is still some lingering lightning and light rain in the area, but we should be fine to go all nine tonight as that one sizzles high at 96 for ball one. Mendez, one of the bigger guys on this team, in addition to being one of the hardest throwers, fires home. The bunt is fouled back to the screen, 1-1. Mendez is 6'4", 240 from the capital city of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. Solid numbers this year. Does walk a few too many, but the stuff is outstanding. Here's the pitch. Fastball on the inside corner, strike two. Gets the sign, drops that black glove into his belt buckle, and delivers the pitch. Slider stays up and in, 2-2, as Del Rosario was bailing out of the way. 45th game of the year for Del Rosario, who has been with the Blue Jays all year. So he's played in about 60% of the ball games, a part-time player, along with the man on deck, DeCastro. Here's the 2-2. Fastball rises high, 97 for Mendez. That's the top of his range. I believe he's popped a 98 once or twice this year. But generally, it's mostly 94s from both him and Raya. But both a little higher tonight. Here's the pitch. Fastball swatted foul over the stadium towards the parking lot on the right side. It's a very tight, intimate stadium. The stands are extremely close to the field. So most foul balls in the air will go over both sections, both levels, and into the parking lot. Here's the payoff pitch, and it's swatted foul, this time into the net behind home plate. Still a full count. Mendez, generally a two-inning reliever, unless he runs into trouble, has been one of the mainstays in the bullpen all year. The payoff pitch coming, and it's chopped weakly out to short. Miller charges hard. The quick release on the run, and he throws it away into the netting by the Blue Jays dugout. Pick it up. But it did stay in play, so Del Rosario will have to stay at first. That might be an infield hit, which would spare Noah Miller an error, something he almost never does, commit errors. He was a little too nonchalant on that one. We've seen him make that play a number of times this year, including tonight. He made a very similar play against Machado in the third, but airmailed that throw well over the head of Cespedes, nothing Rubel could do. Runner goes, pitches in, Cardenas fires on target, and he got him. Beautiful throw by Noah Cardenas to gun down Del Rosario, and the inning is over. We're through five. Fort Myers is in the lead.
Your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles knock the best entertainment value out of the park all summer. Friday, July 29th and Friday, August 5th, all area scouts can get a special ticket offer, plus camp out on the field after the game. The 29th is also your opportunity to bring a teddy bear or a new stuffed toy for children at Golisano Children's Hospital. Saturday, the 30th, is our Muscle Car Night. Check out the sweet rides on your way into the game. Come out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
We'll be right back. leads off the inning for the Muscles as we start the sixth. 1-0 Mighty Muscles on top. As the first pitch rises high to Noah for ball one. It'll be Cavaco and Rosario to follow for the Muscles. What has become a dark and damp night here in Dunedin. It was sunny for the first four innings today, as that one just misses the knees a little bit low for ball two. Kelvin Perez is the new pitcher for the Blue Jays. The second consecutive Perez to pitch. That one's up high. The Blue Jays have three right-handed pitchers with the last name Perez, two of them with the same first name of Nathaniel. This is Kelvin, who we've seen a number of times this year. The pitch home to Noah is down the middle for a strike. Kelvin is 21 years old from Tinaquillo, Venezuela, 6'3", 175, although I would say a little above that now. The 3-1 coming to Miller, and he swings through a high fastball, strike two. Kelvin with a 2.25 ERA over 11 outings, only 16 innings. Spent some of the year at the complex. The windup, now the 3-2. And it's lifted foul over the third base side out of play. Miller wears the high purple socks under the pants. Navy helmets for the Mighty Muscles as always. Perez with the high blue socks fires a 3-2. And it just missed up and away, ball four. Miller has his second consecutive walk. So that'll bring up Keone Cavaco, who has one of just the two Mighty Muscles hits in this game. A pop fly single down the right field line in the fourth, 1-for-2. Outfield very deep against Cavaco, who has considerable power. Twins first round pick in 2019. First pitch to him is up high for ball one. White spikes tonight for Keone, maybe breaking out some new spikes for the second half. The right-hander deals, and it's upstairs, ball two. First game of four this weekend. We've got a doubleheader scheduled for tomorrow. Miller takes his lead with Nunez holding him on. The pitch. Fastball, outer half, called a strike, 2-1. 89 on the fastball from the 6'3" frame of Kelvin Perez. Works from the first base half of the rubber. Miller runs on target, but not nearly in time. Miller picked a great pitch to run on, and he has his 20th stolen base of the year. A massive jump at first, and even though Messia made a good throw, it was just not going to be enough. Perez set once more. Now the pitch home. Fastball a little bit low, and Cavaco's got the walk. Just his 13th walk of the year in about 70 games played. But a patient at-bat there, and the Muscles I have two base runners here in the sixth with Kalei Rosario coming up. Now, Perez's ERA is good, but the peripheral number is not as good. He did go two scoreless in Fort Myers on June 30th, but he also allowed a run in one inning on April 20th here in Dunedin. Stuff's not overwhelming, and he does give up some contact, so you don't really want to walk the two leadoff batters, obviously. First pitch to Rosario. Fastball at the belt, but ruled high, ball one. Trey Ward, our home plate umpire, is not giving the upper portions of the zone, but he's been consistent. It's been a very tight strike zone for him tonight. I feel like we haven't said that all year because, you know, for half our games, the robots call balls and strikes. Runners take off. It's a swing and a miss. Throw to third, and they got him. Close play, but Miller is ruled out at third. As Cavaco does get second on the back end. That was a gutsy time to go with nobody out. Got a pretty good jump, but a strong throw by Messia just barely clips him on a close play. So a runner on second with one out now, and I'm a little surprised they went that early there. You want to force Perez to throw some strikes first before you give him an out. There's the 1-1. Slider bends off the plate for ball two. Cardenas on deck, and then Perez here in the sixth for Fort Myers. Gavaco takes his walking lead at second. Machado, the second baseman, keeping an eye on him. Here's the pitch. Fastball rolled towards the middle. Knocked down by Machado. Sets his feet. Long throw to first, and he got it. Good play by Estevan Machado. Oh, they called the runner safe. Base umpire Chad Westlake changed the call as he said that Nunez's foot was off the bag. The throw was to the outfield side of first. Nunez doesn't seem to agree with the call. As Messia calls for time, Nunez holding on to the ball in disbelief. Kind of drawing attention to himself there.
Catcher, number 24.
As the pitch clock starts to run. So we'll see how they score that one, but it's first and third with one out now for Cardenas. Gave the Blue Jays getting caught stealing is given right back on what might be a tough throwing error on Machado, because a good throw would have definitely have gotten Rosario. Here's the pitch, and Cardenas swings through a slow breaking ball for strike one. That's 78 miles an hour on that pitch. They haven't given it a ruling yet, but I have to think that'll be an error. Muscles with a chance to add to their 1-0 lead here in the top of the sixth. The pitch, slider launched to the screen. Big cut by Cardenas, strike two. Noah's hot streak against Clearwater has brought his OPS up to 797 entering today. That is as high as it's been all year, and 100 points above the league average. So he is starting to climb that list of potential promotions. But, of course, being a catcher, you kind of have to have a catcher vacancy before you can promote him. The pitch is looped down the right field line but foul. Very talented catching trio up in High A right now with Jefferson Morales, Charles Mack, and Pat Winkle. With Winkle probably being the best prospect of the three, but all three are legitimate prospects. Mack having a slow season with the bat, unfortunately. But we've seen the potential in him. The pitch is popped up foul behind home. Jair Camargo, who started the year in High A and a catcher who was promoted to Double A a few weeks ago, rehabbed with the FCL team yesterday. We got a chance to watch him play live in Fort Myers. And speaking of the FCL Twins, they lost a rain-shortened game today at JetBlue Park in Fort Myers. They fall to 15-17. As that one's up high on Cardenas, ball one. Two hits, though, for Ricardo Olivari. Hit his second home run of the year. He also had a double. But the story for as our purposes, a couple of low-A rehabs in that game. Here's the 1-2, and it's looped foul. Cardenas continues to battle. That was an error, by the way, on Machado, allowing Rosario to reach. Jesus Feliz is on the mend, played a handful of games in April, and then had back issues and has been on the injured list for 2 months now. He went 0-2 with a hit by pitch today, hopefully not in the back. But good to see him in the lineup. Here's the 1-2, and that one's down and away. Ernie Yake rehabbed yesterday in that game we talked about, so you've got two infielders who can play really all four infield spots. Both Yake and Feliz can play all four spots. With the three vacancies on the roster, it would be a logical addition for the Muscles to add Yake and or Feliz going into the series at Hammond Stadium next. Foul over the third base dugout. That's going to get into the seats as well. So a 9-pitch at-bat here for Noah Cardenas with men at the corners. The other rehabber today was a guy you probably haven't heard of. His name is Jesus Toledo, a left-handed pitcher from Venezuela who is 22 years old and has been in the Twins system since 2017. 2 years in the DSL, then he spent 2019 in the GCL, 23 innings and a 4.18 ERA in Fort Myers in 2019. Missed all of last year with an injury and made his triumphant return today after over 2 years of not pitching. There's a throw to first, and diving back in is Rosario. So it's actually almost 3 years now since Toledo was last pitched, and it's nice to see him get into a game and toss a scoreless inning for the FCL Twins today. And he is on the Mighty Muscles roster, so we could see a left-hander named Jesus Toledo pretty soon. Perez delivers. Fastball fouled off the catcher. It'll be at least a 10-pitch at-bat now for Cardenas. So Toledo and Feliz rehab today after Yake rehabbed yesterday and last week as well. So Yake, Feliz, Toledo, three names that could be joining the Muscles in a matter of days. Kelvin Perez ready. Another 2-2. Runner breaks from first. Pitch is high. Throw on a bounce. Not in time. Here comes Cavaco to the plate. Throw home is on time, and they got him. Blue Jays able to snuff out the Little League play as Cavaco is thrown out at home plate. It's a stolen base for Rosario, but the Muscles got a little greedy as Cavaco tried to slide to the back of the plate and never got there. And here comes Brian Meyer to argue that Messio was blocking the plate, and he might have a pretty good argument. Trey Ward is the home plate umpire. As Cavaco slid kind of behind home plate and never actually touched it. I think that's a decent argument, but in that spot, you might just have to truck the catcher to show the umpire that there's nowhere else to go. I know that's against the rules now, too, but so is blocking the plate. It's kind of a judgment call. So two outs now. Rosario is at second. Here's the 3-2 home. And it's smoked over third, a base hit, skipping down the left field line. Rosario will score easily. Cardenas makes the turn and heads for second. The throw to the bag is not in time. It's an RBI double for Noah Cardenas. And the Mighty Muscles take a 2-0 lead. Well, now you wonder what could have been if you didn't make two outs on the bases. There would have still been nobody out had Miller and Cavaco not been thrown out. Two guys that run the bases well, but were a little over-aggressive in this inning. You almost kind of wonder if they were so antsy during the rain delay that they just couldn't help themselves in those spots, just ready to go after 4 days off. Here's Perez with two outs and his UCLA teammate at second base. Fastball able to pick off the outside corner for strike one, but Cardenas continues to swing it well. He's 26th run batted into the year, and he wins that 10-pitch battle with Kelvin Perez here. 0-1 to Mikey. Here's a pitch home. And a swing and a miss, and it gets away from Messia off of his shin guard into the third base on deck circle as Cardenas moves to third on what will likely be a pass ball, I would have to think. 0-2, though, on Perez. So because there was a guy thrown out in both those circumstances, no stolen base for either Cavaco or Rosario. Here's the pitch to Perez, and a swing and a miss late on the fastball, and that'll do it for the Muscles in the sixth. They do get a run, though, on the Cardenas double. We'll move to the bottom of the inning after this. You're listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball.
There's no better way to let off some steam than axe throwing. But ever wish the party could come to you? Well, now it can. Introducing Chuck It Axes, the mobile axe throwing company that'll bring the party to your front yard, backyard, parking lot, or business. Chuck It offers one-on-one coaching for all ages and skill levels and is fully insured. To schedule your axe throwing party today, call 239-851-AXES or visit chuckitaxes.com. Life is short. Chuck It!
How do you follow the crack of the bat? With the boom.
of fireworks.
Friday night fireworks.
After every Friday evening home game, the lights go down and the fireworks go up into the Southwest Florida sky. Wrap up your evening at the ball game with the booms, bangs, and sparkles of a professional fireworks show after every Friday home game. One more way to have a family-friendly great time from your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is infielder Noah Miller, and you're listening to John.
9-1-2 for Dunedin here in the bottom of the sixth inning. John Vitas welcoming you back to TD Ballpark. Juan Mendez out for his second inning of relief and fires a fastball low. Long break there for Mendez between his first and second innings. Kelvin Perez needed 28 pitches to get through his inning. Only allowed one run, but the Muscles now lead 2-0. Here's the pitch in, and it's up high for ball two. Well, before we bid you adieu for the All-Star break over the weekend in Hammond, at Hammond Stadium, we talked a lot about the impending MLB draft. Muscles played an afternoon game the night of round 1 and 2, and we were starting to foreshadow who they could get and how those guys might affect the playoff race here. There's a foul tip for strike one. And similar to last year, and to our pleasure here with the Muscles, the Twins were very college-heavy with their draft picks this year. 17 of the 20 draft picks from college. Here's the 2-1. Fastball looped out to shallow center field. The triangle comes together. Baez calls everybody off and makes the catch in center field to retire DeCastro. Now it'll be Machado. So we're very excited about that. All three high school players were taken after the 13th round. So the first 13 picks were all college guys, and then they went 3-3 from rounds 14 through 20. That one's inside on Machado for ball one. And the reports came in today that the Twins have signed Brooks Lee, their first round pick, right around slot value at just over $5 million. Now, we were talking about some of the possibilities for the Twins at the number 8 pick, and we never mentioned Brooks Lee's name, the 1-0. Is up high for ball two, and that's because most mock drafts had him going somewhere between 3 and 6, but he fell to the Twins at 8, and they were happy to scoop him up. A switch-hitting shortstop who many project to become a third baseman down the road. 2-0 is up and away for ball three. But 6'2", 200 pounds, a really good infielder build, and a polished hitter. He was considered to be one of the most polished hitters the last couple of years in all of college baseball, playing for his father at Cal Poly. 3-0 is at the knees for a strike. So we are very hopeful that Brooks Lee will be wearing a Mighty Muscles uniform at some point in the next month and a half. 3-1 is a little bit high, ball four. Machado draws the walk, and there's one on and one out now for Roque Salinas. So that's the headliner, but then a bunch of college guys after that. In the second round, the Twins went with a left-handed pitcher out of Alabama named Connor Prelip, who didn't pitch at all for the Crimson Tide this spring. He's battled injuries throughout his college career, but at the showcases and combines and different events before the draft, he was electric, and a lot of the teams really liked him. Fastball down the pipe for a strike. The Twins also drafted one of his college teammates, Garrett McMillan, in the 19th round, a right-handed pitcher. So two Alabama pitchers in the draft for the Twins. Remember last year, as the pickoff throw to first is not in time. Remember, last year the Twins drafted two guys out of UConn and two guys out of Texas Tech. Now, Brandon Birdsell didn't sign out of Texas Tech, but Dylan Noisy did. So they go duplicates again this year with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Here's tips past Cardenas. That allows Machado to go to second on the wild pitch, and the Blue Jays poised to at least cut this deficit in half with a man in scoring position. And only one out now as Cardenas pays a visit to the mound. Well, the Twins dipped into that Texas Tech well once more. In the fourth round, they selected Andrew Morris, a right-handed pitcher, who we're told has really good stuff. And then at the end of the second round, they had two second-round picks. Their traditional second-rounder, 48th overall, was Prelip, the lefty we just talked about. And then at 68th overall, the Twins took Tanner Schobel, a shortstop out of Virginia Tech, 1-1. Is lined over shortstop. Miller can't reach it. It's up the gap. In to score easily is Machado. Heading for second is Salinas. The throw comes into the cutoff man. It's an RBI double for Roque Salinas. Just the third hit of the night for Dunedin. And they have cut the deficit in half. It's 2-1. The tying run now at second base with Gabby Martinez 20, coming up. Martinez. Good piece of hitting going the other way there. So Lee and Schobel, the headliners offensively in the draft, and then Prelip and Morris, the headliners on the pitching side. Mendez ready from the stretch. First pitch to Gabby Martinez is a nasty slider that he swings over. But then just more college guys after that. They went to the D3 level to draft Ben Ross in the fifth round out of Notre Dame College in Ohio. Here's the 0-1. Swing and a miss, strike two on another good slider. Then Tennessee infielder Jorel Ortega, so former teammate of Jake Rutgers. We probably will see him this year, having played in the SEC, a little more advanced. Right-hand hitting infielder from Puerto Rico. Here's the pitch. And he got him. Good slider. Three in a row for Mendez. Strikes out Martinez. And it's all going to be left to Rainer Nunez here in the sixth. Three strikeouts now for Mendez.
First baseman, number 37,
and then the Twins went three consecutive pitchers in rounds 7 through 9. Kyle Jones, an accomplished righty out of Toledo. Zebby Matthews, a righty out of Western Carolina. And then Corey Lewis, a righty out of UC Santa Barbara. This one's grounded out to short, backhanded by Miller, long throw to make, and he puts it on target to Cespedes to end the inning. So the Blue Jays will settle for one, and the Muscles continue to lead by one. 2-1 Fort Myers as we move to the seventh on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Athenian Academy Charter School, the first Greek immersion charter school in the United States, is now in Fort Myers and open for enrollment for the upcoming school year. Athenian Academy is a tuition-free public school offering kindergarten through eighth grade with a brand new state-of-the-art building. Their certified teachers create excellence in education through a motivating, focused academic and language approach that includes Greek and Spanish taught daily. Located on Three Oaks Parkway, just Academy Charter School. Come experience the difference.
This is Mighty Muscles outfielder Zach Huffins, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
Rubel Cespedes leads off the top of the seventh inning here from Dunedin. Crowd's kind of filled back in after that hour delay. New pitcher into the game for Dunedin. It's their third consecutive righty reliever as Cespedes pulls back a bunt and takes low. It's right-hander Julian Valdez in back of the two Perez's now into the game. Mighty Muscles lead this one 2-1. Valdez a 1-0. Swing and a miss on a center cut fastball at 92 miles per hour. Valdez has struggled this year, especially against the Muscles. 23 years old from Santo Domingo, making his 19th appearance. He's ready. And now time called for. Valdez gave up 2 runs on 3 hits over 3 innings in Fort Myers on July 1st. Gave up 3 runs in 2 innings here in Dunedin on April 20th. So he's given up multiple runs in both. Cespedes sprays it to the screen for strike 2. But he does have pretty good stuff despite an ERA in the 7s for the year. Where's the hat tilted? It's kind of Marcus Stroman-esque in that Blue Jays cap. Always out of the stretch. Valdez fires. The changeup's cranked foul. Home run distance from Cespedes. But over the Blue Jays building in the right field corner. Well, this is a park that Rubel Cespedes will enjoy hitting in. You could say the same for Carlos Aguiar. Home runs very attainable to right field here. Only 328 down the line. And it doesn't really jut out until you get to the batter's eye. So it's a little shallower to right field here. As he slices one down the left field line, Martinez coming over and in, and it goes off his glove and all the way towards the corner. Cespedes will get 2 bases as Martinez quickly pounces on it and plays it on in. But it'll be a double of good fortune for Rubel Cespedes, who hit that ball well, but Martinez was shaded towards the corner. And it seemed like a pretty routine sliding catch. And it just hit off his glove and trickled away. You got to think the lights might have been a factor there for Martinez. 11th double already for Cespedes. He's only been with the team for a little over a month. So 2 good fortune hits for him today. Here is Aguiar, the pitch to him, is away. And that's where I would live in this ballpark against a guy like Aguiar who can pull a home run in a heartbeat. Away, away, away. But he's got long arms. He can pull some balls on the outer half. Although in this spot, you probably would like him to go with the pitch the other way. Leading by 1 in the 7th. And he hammers this one high in the air to right center field. Outfielders come together. Now coming in, it's going to be the right fielder Massone to make the catch. So a high fly out there on the pitch to Aguiar. And it'll bring up Frank Nigro. A line out and a walk today for Frank. Muscles have scored against the first two relievers. Trying to follow suit here against Valdez. Fort Myers 2, Dunedin 1. We're in the top of the 7th. After a 1 hour rain delay. Playing a little later than usual tonight. First pitch to Frank. Slider is off the plate. By the way, Marco Raya tonight lowers his ERA 0.2. Now down to 2.65 for the year. And his whip is right around 1. It was at 106 coming in, right around 1 at this point. As the fastball sails low, 2-0. I mean, there's no question he's deserving of being a top 10 prospect in the Twins system. There's no reason he can't finish the year with high A Cedar Rapids, but selfishly we want him for the Muscles come postseason time. Fastball is in for a strike, and postseason time is really why we were giving you all those names from the Twins draft class, because those guys are going to significantly impact this team come later in the season. I don't know which of the 20 will get here, but last year 7 of the 20 draft picks played for the Muscles in their draft year, so again, could be up to 6 to 10 different guys that we could get from that list. That one's up and in, almost hit Nigro, and that's ball four. He got the previous call overturned. So his second walk, and it'll bring up the leadoff man, Baez.
Center fielder, number 11.
Just to finish out some of the names, we mentioned the Tennessee infielder, Jarrell Ortega. He might be one of the first ones here. We talked about the three college pitchers that went right after him. Corey Lewis, the ninth-round pick, has gotten some headlines from the Twins writers because he throws a knuckleball. First pitch to Baez is a fastball sliced foul. Now, we're told that Lewis's fastball is only 89 to 91, but he's got elite carry, which means the ball kind of takes off as it crosses home plate. Almost has rising action, but he pairs it with decent off-speed pitches and then a knuckleball. It's his fourth pitch, but he says he likes to throw at least a couple in every outing just to keep hitters guessing. Here's the 0-1. Fastball on the corner, strike two. There's a lot of college pitchers out there that try and convince their pitching coach that they can throw a knuckleball, and very few coaches actually allow it. Muscles just lost a challenge. Baez thought it was outside, but it is strike two. But the Twins scouting director, Sean Johnson, said that we would like him to throw that pitch. We think it's pretty good. We don't really know how to grade knuckleballs, but we want him to at least try it, see how it goes. So we could be broadcasting knuckleballs this year if he gets here. That one comes up and in, and it drills Baez on the front arm. And he is now crouched down and in some pain. Got him around the left elbow, it looks like. Kind of a delayed reaction, but now he's on his hands and knees in the grass just to the left of the third base line. That is not good. The Muscles just lost Zach Huffins last week, another outfielder who's played some center as he tried to make a diving catch in the outfield. We mentioned it last week. We thought that Zach would be back with the Muscles after the All-Star break. It was just a mild injury. But further testing over the All-Star break revealed that he did break his wrist. And it is a pretty minor break, so they think he could be back with the Muscles before the end of the year. But they could not afford to lose another center fielder with Rodriguez and Huffins already out. Baez fortunately gets up and is now walking towards first, so he'll at least stay in for now. And the Muscles have the bases loaded now with only one out. That was a costly mistake by Valdez because he had Baez in an 0-2 count. Allows him to reach now. Bases loaded for Noah Miller. Batting left-handed, first pitch. Inside with a fastball, 1-0. Miller with a ground out and two walks. Muscles now have five walks and two hit by pitches tonight. Might be able to hear the announcement. The Blue Jays challenge there and lost. I don't know why you would challenge on that pitch. Looked to be inside, and it was proven to be inside. First pitch of an at-bat, they burn one of their three challenges for the game. Here's the 1-0. And it's Lupinez tagging from third, Cespedes. He's going to try and score. Here comes the throw to the plate. It's on target, and they got him. A double play for the Dunedin Blue Jays as Martinez throws out Cespedes with a perfect throw to the plate. 7-2 on the putout, and the Muscles do not score. In the seventh, time to stretch at TD Ballpark. Blue Jays down one.
Nobody starts the day thinking they're going to finish it in the hospital, but personal injury happens, and having a strong advocate to represent you before an insurance company or the court is invaluable. Attorney Spencer Cordell is a criminal defense and personal injury lawyer. Spencer's main office is in Fort Myers, and he represents clients in traffic court and personal injury litigation from Port Charlotte to Naples. Initial consultations are free. Before you sign anything, reach out to the law office of Spencer Cordell, committed to serving Floridians with excellence.
You got a group? We got a group deal. Fort Myers Mighty Muscles group ticket packages include discounts and bennies for your family, friend group, church, team, or business. Call the Mighty Muscles business office today at 239-768-4210. Thank you.
You're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball. Here's the voice of the Muscles, John Venus.
Now in the pitch for Fort Myers is right-hander Jackson Hicks in charge of a 2-1 lead as we begin the bottom of the seventh inning. It'll be Adriel Sotolongo to lead it off. Right on right, and the fastball sizzles up and in for ball one. So Juan Mendez goes two innings, gives up one run on just one hit. The walk came back to bite him that he allowed in the sixth. Fastball chopped up the third base line. That's going to go foul. Cavaco was ready for it, but wide of the line for strike one. Three strikeouts, one walk for Mendez. The former Tar Heel club team member, Jackson Hicks. We listened to his interview during the rain delay, and I think the part that stood out to me, and Aiden Pearson did a great job with that one, but I think what stood out to me was when Jackson said when the Twins offered him a contract, he said his mom almost blew out his eardrums. She was so excited. She had let out a big scream when he told her the Twins were going to sign him. Here's the 1-1. Slider in the dirt, knocked down by Cardenas for ball two. I mean, his story is so unlikely. I don't know if I've seen a more unlikely story than Jackson Hicks's in my 7 years in the minor leagues. Was on the UNC club team. Didn't even pitch in a real college setting. It was all basically just scrimmages. Fastball up and in 3-1, and sent out some YouTube videos while he was working for Habitat for Humanity, building houses as a volunteer while taking a gap year in college. He had graduated with his undergrad degree. The 3-1 is fouled back at a play strike two and was looking at graduate school programs to attend. And he said he didn't want to do an online program. He wanted the real thing. So during the pandemic, there were no in-person classes. So he started doing some volunteer work and build houses and then throw some baseballs at night. That one's up high, ball four. And Sotolongo, the tying run is on to start the seventh. Posted some pitching videos to YouTube, was popping 92 on the radar gun, and got a chance to play an independent ball, and then eventually on to the Twins organization. Here is J.C. Masson, who is 1-for-2 in his Dunedin debut, and was batting 339 in the FCL. Swing and a miss on a high fastball, 0-1. Masson is a French Canada native, drafted by his home nation's team. 0-1 is a changeup on the outside corner, strike two. Good pitch. 82 on that outside corner. Masson was the 26th round pick in 2019 out of Cardinal Roy High School. Might be Wah, right? Cardinal Wah High School in Quebec. That one's outside, 1-2. Lévis, Quebec, Canada, his hometown. Played in 18 games in the FCL this year before getting called up. The 1-2. Breaking ball, pounded foul, hit himself in the leg with the chopper. Masson put up good numbers last year as well. 283 average with 6 extra base hits in 15 games. Not a lot of action, though. So they had him repeat. And an 882 OPS last year, 972 this year. He has certainly earned this opportunity. The 1-2. Breaking ball lifted out to shallow left field. Miller ambling out. Rosario coming in, takes control, and makes the catch in left field for the out. So there's the first out, and it'll bring up Victor Mesia.
Catcher, number 27.
Not sure if there's any Blue Jays fans tuned in, but we'll give you some of their top college picks from this week's draft. They went with a high school pitcher, Brandon Barriera, in the first round, but then a ton of college guys after that and some big schools as well. First pitch to Mesia is a fastball low. Josh Kasevich, shortstop from Oregon, in the second round. They went three straight shortstops. One was out of high school, Tucker Toman, who is the number 35 ranked player in the draft. They got him at 77th overall. That was a foul ball as the bat goes flying into the net, 1-1. They got Kasevich out of Oregon, Cade Doughty out of LSU, then an outfielder named Alan Roden out of Creighton. So I would say those three position players are very likely to be with Dunedin at some point here down the playoff stretch. Then they went three straight college pitchers, Ryan Jennings from Louisiana Tech, Mason Fluharty out of Liberty, and T.J. Brock from Ohio State. That one's in the dirt. Good scoop by Cardenas, 2-1. Peyton Williams, a first baseman out of Iowa in the seventh round. Dylan Rock, not to be confused with T.J. Brock, but Dylan Rock went in the eighth round out of Texas A&M, an outfielder. And then two more college pitchers in the ninth and tenth round. There's a swing and a miss. Good fastball by Hicks to even up the count, 2-2. And then a really long run of pitchers. They did four straight pitchers before they went back to a catcher in the 14th round. There is certainly help on the way for this Dunedin Blue Jays roster. Here's the pitch. And it's lined out to right. Towards the corner goes Aguiar. Reaches up over his head and can't make the play. It one hops against the wall. So DeLongo will stop at third as he had to freeze on the liner. It's an opposite field double for Victor Mesia. And the Blue Jays have a chance to take the lead here in the seventh inning. Oh, Aguiar just missed that ball, trying to run it down near the warning track out there. Good effort, but hit too well. And Del Rosario will likely determine the fate of this seventh inning. A single could put the Blue Jays in the lead. Hicks looking for a strikeout or a pop out here. According to MLB.com, two of those top six picks have already signed with the Blue Jays. New rule to tell you about with that. Infield comes in halfway for the Mighty Muscles. First pitch, fastball at the knees for a strike. New rule this year, once a player signs with their organization, they have to be added to a roster within 15 days. So Mason Fluharty and T.J. Brock, who have both already signed. As the pitch comes in, a swing and a miss. Good slider by Hicks, strike two. They will have to be on either the FCL roster or the Dunedin roster by, what would that be, about August 6th would be the deadline for that. Hicks deals an 0-2, and it's in the dirt, goes all the way to the backstop. The carom comes to Cardenas, the flip to the plate, the tag, but he's safe. Just ahead of the tag, so DeLongo scores, and this game is tied at two. And Hicks, I think, got spiked, kind of shaking out his right leg as he slowly starts to walk back to the mound. Good attempt there to try and get the man at the plate. Cardenas played the carom well. We mentioned a short backstop here, about half the distance you would normally see. And so the ball ended up about 10 feet behind home. The little flip overhand by Cardenas was where it needed to be. But the tag was just a fraction of a second late. Slider hit out to short. Miller comes home with the throw. It's on target, and the tag is there. Nicely done by Noah Miller to keep this game tied. 6-2 on the fielder's choice, and there's two down in the seventh.
Now batting number 11, Raquelvin DeCastro.
Miller did not have a lot of time. Mesia had a good secondary lead and was barreling home. But that quick release from Noah really came in handy there. There's a throw to first, and it gets away off the glove of Cespedes and trickling towards Aguiar. The turn and then stopping at second is Del Rosario. So an E1 moves him into scoring position. That could prove costly. We'll see. Hicks with those stirrups comes back to the mound now. But that 15-day rule we were just referencing is going to be a big factor for the decision makers in every organization. Now, they don't actually have to play within 15 days. They just have to be on a roster. Runner breaks for third. It's a swing and a miss. Cardenas' throw is late. It's a stolen base for Del Rosario on a swing and a miss by DeCastro. And that's a risk that's really not worth taking if you're the Blue Jays, but he is safe. 0-1 on DeCastro. Infield as deep as they can get here. Cespedes well off the line at first. The pitch. Swing and a miss. Hicks got the fastball by him. Strike two. So what that 15-day rule really means is that in the next 15 to 25 days, We're going to see a lot of releases in every organization. Here's the 0-2. Slider catches the top of the zone, strike three. Hicks gets the call, and DeCastro is down looking. So Jackson able to limit the damage, but the Blue Jays tie it up as we head to the eighth on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah!
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo-hoo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the always flexible voucher plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for six games and include parking and six hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full season ticket plan for $330. Full season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330. To purchase your plan today, call 239-768-4210 or email sales@mightymuscles.com.
This is Muscles pitcher Jackson Hicks, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
3-4 and 5 coming up for Brian Myers' team, and they need a little offense here in the eighth inning. 2-2 the score. This game was 0-0 going into the fifth. Muscles got a run right before the rain delay. Thought it might hold up if they could finish the fifth, but they weren't able to because of those thunderstorms. They blew through, didn't leave as much rain as it looked like they might. As Cavaco skies one out to pretty deep right center field. Massone back near the wall, and the catch is not made. It drops in on the warning track. Cavaco makes the turn. He's going to get Salinas dropped it on the warning track on a ball that off the bat I thought might leave the ballpark. Just in front of the Sobeys sign in right center field. Massone had it measured, and then Salinas called him off
left fielder,
and dropped it. Trying to make the catch knee high, kind of leaning towards right field. We'll see how they score that, but that's a big mistake by Salinas. And now the Muscles can take the lead right back. Valdez still in the game to pitch. Infield comes in for the Blue Jays. Been some tough calls for the scorer these last couple of innings. First pitch to Rosario. Fastball smoked down the line, but foul. A little too quick. Strike one. Rosario reached on an error earlier. What was a good play by Machado to get to the ball, but then threw it away. Blue Jays infielders have their toes on the grass here, all the way in, except for the third baseman, Del Rosario, who is a step behind the bat to the pull side on Rosario. Here's the 0-1. Slider looped foul over the screen behind home plate, strike two. Palacio for three officially did score the second Mighty Muscle run. Both runs have been scored kind of in sloppy fashion. In the fifth, it was a hit by pitch, a fielder's choice, and a double steal. And then in the sixth, a couple of walks, a caught stealing, and then an error. Valdez delivers. Fastball fisted in the air. Foul, that'll get into the crowd. We are hearing and seeing thunder and lightning beyond the center field wall here. Not sure if there's more storms approaching or if it's just that heat lightning, but definitely still some weather around us. In a tie game here in the top of the eighth, We did just hear a few minutes ago the fireworks going off over at the Threshers ballpark. That's how close these stadiums are. Valdez kicks and deals. That one's cranked deep to left center field. Salinas tracing it, as is Martinez. They look up, and it's off the wall. It caroms back towards the infield. Cavaco scores easily as Rosario pulls in at second base with an RBI double. Missed a home run by just a couple of feet. Muscles retake the lead on Kalei Rosario's 35th RBI of the year.
Catcher number 24, Noah Cardenas.
They did give Cavaco credit for a triple as well, so a big break there for Keone. Muscles get back-to-back extra base hits against Valdez, and they victimize him for the third consecutive time this with a chance to add on. We have not seen a ton of clutch hitting in this game, but he had a two-out RBI double in the sixth. First pitch to Noah. Fastball buzzes inside, 1-0. I thought Rosario got a home run there, but the left center field alley is probably the toughest place to get it out of this stadium. Only 400 to center, but just a bit below 400 to where he went with that ball to the power alley. 1-0 is fouled off his foot, and that one hurt. Noah hobbling up the first base line. Looked like he got his left foot with that foul ball and immediately reacted to that one, as now he's circling back around. Those are just not the types of breaks you want here in late July. 83 games into the season, and you crank a fastball off your foot. Digging back in now. He's got that catcher toughness. By the way, that is five triples for Keone Cavaco. That's a big number in any season. Here's the 1-1. Fastball taken for a strike at the knees, and he's immediately going to challenge. Cardenas challenges, and he wins it. It is a ball. Call overturned.
The result is a two.
Catchers know the strike zone. Cardenas wins it, and he's ahead in the count. Rosario leads at second. Machado holding him on. Now the pitch. Fastball chopped over the mound towards the hole, flashing across the shortstop. DeCastro gets to it, and he makes the throw to first in time. Raquelben DeCastro with a terrific defensive play to save a run for the moment as Rosario goes second to third. But there's one out now.
Four, Mikey Perez.
If that gets through, it's an easy RBI single, but he's able to flash to his glove side to make that play. And now Mikey Perez comes to the dish with the infield in once again. Three runs on six hits now for the Muscles. They also have five walks in this game. First pitch to Mikey. Fastball roped to third, but dropped. It's dropped, and everybody's going to be safe. I think the throw to first pulls him off the bag. Oh, it would have been an inning-ending double play, but Del Rosario dropped it on a liner that went right to him. It was in his glove and then out of his glove. He and Rosario were going to race to third, but when he dropped it, he had to backtrack, and that allowed Rosario to get to the base. That's a very peculiar play. You almost never see that. If he holds onto the ball, the inning is over. Instead, they don't record any outs. The throw to first would have gotten Perez had it been on target, but it pulled Nunez off the base, so it might be an error on Del Rosario. First and third with one out, and here is Rubel Cespedes. Valdez delivers. Fastball lifted foul out of play, strike one. I am a little surprised they're leaving Valdez in this long, although I guess they're used to having to leave him in this long. Muscles have had his number all year, and in a game that hangs in the balance, giving up some rockets. Perez really got a hold of that one. Runner breaks from first, and it's swatted foul on the left side. Perez would have stolen the base standing up, but Cespedes saw a center cut fastball and took a rip. 0-2 now on him as Perez has to return to first. Keeps the double play in order for the Blue Jays. It's turning into a pretty competitive ball game today. Not a lot of offense early, but since the rain delay, it's gotten really interesting. A lot more base runners. kind of feels like this game's coming down to defense. We've seen some tough defensive plays get made and then not get made. Seen the outfielders drop a couple. So it's Cardenas at third. Rosario at third. Perez at first. Perez runs again. And again, it's fouled off. So he is getting his sprints in here. 3-2, Fort Myers in the eighth. And now some rain starting to fall here in this inning. Just a light rain here at the ballpark. Most folks staying in their seats. Valdez steadies. And it's chopped towards the middle. Fielded by Machado. The return throw to first, double play. Oh, Perez looked like he was ready to run, and then he stopped, and he cost his team a run. If he was running, he would have stayed out of the double play on the chopper, but instead, it's TaylorMade. 4-6-3, and the Muscles again will have to settle for just one run. Middle of the eighth, Fort Myers back in front, 3-2.
Make plans for our next homestand starting July 26th. You'll have all your favorite nights, from Two for Tuesdays to Firework Friday. Saturday the 30th, John Grice from the hit movie Napoleon Dynamite will be on hand. The first 500 fans get a Mighty Muscles Christmas in July ornament. And it's Beer Fest 4. $30, 50 beers. Saturday the 31st brings the Southwest Florida Sports Card Mega Show included with your game ticket from 9 till 4. Come out to the ballgame with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Muscles pitcher John Wilson, and you're listening to the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
Top of the order here for Dunedin. Muscles back in front, 3-2. This has been a really back-and-forth game here in the later innings. Jackson Hicks out for his second inning, and his fastball picks off the corner to Esteban Machado, who's going to challenge. And the call is a ball. So Machado wins the challenge. I believe both teams only have one remaining. But they have been able to get some calls overturned as the fastball's down the middle there, 1-1. So Hicks, who gave up a run in the seventh through 22 pitches, is back out for the eighth. Now in line for the win after the Muscles just regained the lead. 1-1 to Esteban. It is a fastball up and in, ball two. Lakeland and Tampa rained out, as we mentioned earlier. As that one swatted to left field, tailing towards the corner, Rosario in pursuit will pull up and make the catch. Caught it just in front of the warning track in the left field corner. As Machado flies out for out number one. It'll bring up Salinas. Clearwater and Bradenton. Able to get some innings in today despite the rain here in the area. Clearwater leading 6-3. That one's in for a strike, 0-1. I'm pretty positive I heard the fireworks down the road there. So if that is the case, then they probably shot him off during the delay. Changeup misses outside. Two other games are final in the league. There's another tumbling changeup from Hicks for strike two. So much easier to see the movement on that changeup from all the way down here. We mentioned how low here. As that one misses outside. 2-2. Fastball that time. Looks like they were able to resume play over it, over in Clearwater. There's a swing and a miss. Good pitch. Hicks able to tie up Salinas up and in. Second strikeout for Jackson. And Martinez is the last chance here in the eighth. They're in the sixth inning in Clearwater, 4 miles down the road. Thrashers lead the Marauders 6-3. Hau-Yu Lee and Marcus Lee Sang, Andrick Nava, all with multiple hits in that game. Slider in for a strike to Martinez. Hicks looking better here in his second inning. So an offensive-heavy game, 6-5 in the sixth over at BayCare Ballpark. Here's the 0-1. Slider, and he chased it in the dirt, strike two. Palm Beach and Daytona with a high-scoring affair tonight, 9-8 Cardinals. It was 9-5. Tortugas mounted a comeback. There's a swing and a miss. Hicks with a 1-2-3 inning, strikes out Martinez on a slider. And Hicks tosses a perfect eighth inning. Muscles solidify a one-run lead as we move to the ninth here in Dunedin.
After a car accident, you can feel like you've lost control. I'm Glenn Levine from the Law Offices of Anajar and Levine. Our team can help you understand your legal options after an accident. We will file your claim and fight for the full compensation you deserve. If you've been involved in a car accident, call the Law Offices of Anajar and Levine at 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733 for a free consultation. And take back control of your life.
Offices, Fort Myers and Naples.
We have fun nights ahead of you with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles. Saturday the 30th, John Grise from the hit movie Napoleon Dynamite will be on hand. The first 500 fans get a Mighty Muscles Christmas in July ornament. $30 gets you a ticket to the game and admission to Beer Fest 4 with free samples from over 50 beers. Sunday the 31st brings the Southwest Florida Sports Card Mega Show, included with your game ticket from 9 till 4. Come out to the ball game with your Fort Myers Mighty Muscles.
This is Mikey Perez, and you're listening to the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Top of the ninth inning, last chance for the Muscles to add some insurance as Julian Valdez comes out for a third inning of relief, facing the powerful Carlos Aguiar here to start the frame. First pitch on the way, and it's up high, ball one. It'll be Nigro and Baez to follow for the Muscles. Lefty, righty, righty against Valdez. The pitch, swing and a miss on a high fastball, 1-1. That seems to be Carlos's vulnerability, fastballs up and away, because most of his home runs have come on pitches down in the zone and usually inner half as well. And that one came inside, but Aguiar got jammed and fouled it back, strike two. Aguiar has a purple shin guard on the right leg, so getting some matching attire for his new Mighty Muscles gear. Just joined the team a few weeks ago, already with 7 home runs. The 1-2. Swing and a miss. High fastball and just a hair late. A strikeout for Valdez. That's his first strikeout of the outing. One away for Nigro.
Number 37, Frank Nigro.
It'll be a doubleheader tomorrow for these two teams. 5:00, the first pitch. We'll be on the air for Mighty Muscles pregame live at 4:45. Steve Hadger will pitch game one of the doubleheader tomorrow. First pitch to Nigro. Slider called a strike. Mike Paredes will pitch game two. And then it'll be Travis Adams on Sunday. So you can argue the Muscles stacked for their best starters at this top of this second half. In this abbreviated series, the 0-1 is low. Really, all the starters, though, have pitched well. ERA in the fours for Nowlin and Ohl, the two starters that will wait to pitch until we go back to Fort Myers. But this has been a terrific rotation all year. Big reason why the Muscles won the first half. Nigro takes down and in for ball two. Muscles and the Mets over in St. Lucie have been battling all year for the number one record in the league out of 10 teams. Those two have been clear of the other eight by a large margin all season. The 2-1 inside on Nigro, and he is a pitch away from drawing three walks tonight. Frank 1-for-6 with four walks to start his Mighty Muscles tenure. Cocks those hands back under his right armpit. Now the 3-1, and it's outside. A three-walk day for Frank Nigro. So five of his first 11 plate appearances have resulted in walks.
Center fielder,
and it gives the Muscles a base runner for Luis Baez. There is action in the Fort Myers bullpen. Mendez went two. Hicks went two. First pitch to Baez. He is on the corner, strike one. It looks like it's Malik Barrington up in the bullpen for Fort Myers. He has been one of their best pitchers all year. Valdez deals, and it's roped towards the hole, a base hit. And smack a single into left field. Muscles have two men on for Noah Miller. Valdez up over 40 pitches in relief. Now dealing with a two-on, one-out situation. Well, early in the year, Matt Swain was the closer. Towards the end of May, he was promoted. For the next month or so after that, Hunter McMahon had kind of become the closer. Now it's Malik Barrington. He's been terrific all season. It looks like he'll be in for a one-inning assignment. First pitch to Miller. Fastball just missed the outside corner, ball one. Noah 0-for-2 with a couple of walks. Also stole a base in the sixth. Light rain continues to fall here in Dunedin. Valdez delivers. Swing and a miss on a pitch around the knees. 92 at the knees, and Miller tried to golf it out of here. Even count now. It's Nigro at second, Baez at first. The pitch. Fastball paints the outside corner, strike two. Any sort of contact here other than something sharp on the ground would be ideal. Try and move the runners at least with Cavaco on deck, who had tripled in his last at-bat. The 1-2 pitch. Slider looped over third, hooking away from Del Rosario. Down the line, he makes the basket catch. Over the shoulder, Del Rosario robs Miller. And there's two down, and it's all left to Cavaco.
Now batting, number 9,
Keone Cavaco. Cavaco 2-for-3 with a walk in this game. He has been the best offensive performer. Even though that triple wasn't in and out of the glove of Salinas in center, they ruled it to be extraordinary effort as he traced it down the warning track in right center field. Most outfielders have played Keone the other way this year. He likes to go to that right center field gap. Although he has begun to pull the ball more and more over the last few weeks. Two on, two out. Muscles up by one. Slider dots the outside corner. Valdez has locked it in with the command here in this ninth inning. 0-1. The pitch coming. And it's pulled foul right to Brian Meyer off his hand and down the line, strike two. Gavanco saw that slider hanging over the inside corner and just pulled it too much. 0-2. Any sort of base hit here would be very beneficial for the Mighty Muscles. Leading 3-2 in the ninth. Valdez kicks and delivers. Fastball popped up high in the air behind home plate. Messia towards the on-deck circle won't have a play. It's a few rows back behind the Muscles dugout. A drizzle just dripping in front of the LED lights here in Dunedin. Friday night crowd has seen a good amount of it. Stick around for what has become a 3.5-hour affair because of the rain delay. Nigro, Baez take their leads. Cavaco battling here against Valdez. Another 0-2. Slider hit right back to the mound. Valdez fields on one hop and flips to first to end the inning. Cavaco got a piece, but the inning is over. Muscle strand two. Blue Jays will try and come back again after this on the Mighty Muscles Baseball Network.
Hooked on Mighty Muscle Baseball?
Yeah!
There's no better value than to buy in bulk.
Woo-hoo!
Save bundles of money on tickets and parking by purchasing Mighty Muscle season tickets or the Always Flexible Voucher Plans. Voucher plans start at just $96 for six games and include parking and six hot dog and soda vouchers. Or get the half-season plan to attend Thursday through Saturday games. That's 33 games with free parking for just $230. If you're a diehard, purchase a full season ticket plan for $330. Full season tickets come with $100 of Mighty Muscle money, a Meet the Team event, free parking, and a bus trip to an away game. That's a $1,300 value for just $330. To purchase your plan today, call 239-768-4210 or email sales@mightymuscles.com.
Mighty Muscles pitcher Jonathan Lavallee, and you're listening to Mighty Muscles Baseball.
In to try and close out a narrow one-run win is right-hander Malik Barrington. 6 foot, 2-inch right-hander from Jacksonville, Florida, looking to put away the middle third of this Blue Jays order. 3-2, Mighty Muscles in front in game one of this four-game series. First pitch to Rainer Nunez is a slider that gets him to swing and miss 0-1. Malik is bidding for his fourth save of the year. He's got a 2.75 ERA over 36 outstanding innings. 51 strikeouts, only 15 walks. Fastball popped up. Straight up over shortstop. Miller back into the grass, has it measured. And Miller makes the catch for out number one. Big out there, Nunez with a lot of power. Big sigh of relief there from Barrington with Sotolongo coming up next.
Sotolongo!
Malik had two saves in the FCL last year. This is a true save situation. One-run lead in the ninth. Barrington's been a two- or three-inning guy a lot this year, but tonight it's just three outs necessary. First pitch to Sotolongo. Slider drops in for a strike. We mentioned the Cardinals got a one-run win over the Tortugas tonight. Hammerhead shut out the Mets 9-0. Here's the 0-1. Swing and a miss on another slider for strike two. Marauders have come back to tie the Threshers 6-6 in the sixth. All the other Twins affiliates in progress right now as well. Barrington trying to put away Sotolongo. The 0-2, and he got him. Three consecutive sliders, and Sotolongo flails at all of them. Two away, and Massone is the last chance for the Blue Jays.
Right fielder, three,
Wichita leading Tulsa 5-0 in the sixth. That's a Takashi Miyoshi managed game. If you missed it, we told you in the pregame, the Muscles bench coach is filling in Double A tonight. Legamina and Gibson Long, a couple former Muscles, piggybacking there. First pitch to Masson is in for a strike. Fastball at the knees. Three hits for Christian Encarnacion Strand tonight at the AA level, former Muscle. There's a good changeup, barreling out of the zone, strike two. Barrington looking to polish off a mighty Muscle win. Blue Jays down to their final strike here in Dunedin. Malik comes ready. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. Tumbling changeup for Malik Barrington, who punties in the ninth inning. A terrific performance. Needed just eight pitches to slam the door on the Dunedin Blue Jays, who didn't even sniff a base runner in the ninth. Barrington notches his third save of the year. And the Muscles, in back-and-forth fashion, take the first game of this four-game set. Muscles improved to 49-34, 8-11 in the second half, as the Blue Jays, who entered the weekend just two games back of first in the second half, they fall to 11-10 and 39-48 overall. With the rain delay, a 3-hour and 31-minute affair, the delay was about an hour, so really just about 2.5 hours of game action tonight as Raya got it going with four scoreless. Mendez and Hicks both allowed one run over two innings. And Barrington with a terrific ninth strikes out two of the three batters he faces in a perfect frame as the Muscles get a nice win tonight on the road with a final score of 3-2. It'll be a doubleheader tomorrow. The lefty Steve Hatcher has the ball in game one. Mike Paredes will take it in game two as the Muscles look to clinch another series from Dunedin. We'll see you on the air at 4:45. The doubleheader starts at 5 p.m. as the Muscles and the Blue Jays link up once again here at TD Ballpark in Dunedin. Hope you enjoyed the broadcast tonight from Dunedin. For everybody here with the Mighty Muscles, I'm John Vitas saying so long from TD Ballpark. We'll see you all tomorrow at 4:45 p.m.
Thanks for listening to Fort Myers Mighty Muscles Baseball, worldwide on the Mighty Muscles Broadcast Network. This copyrighted broadcast is presented through the authority of the National Association of Professional Baseball Leagues, Incorporated, for the private use of our audience. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, retransmission, or other dissemination or use of this broadcast, its descriptions, or accounts of this game without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is prohibited.